toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammy McCormick. They boarded helicopters and ships to leave Lebanon today. 350 Americans headed out of harm's way, many of them angered about how long it's taken.
It's really frustrating because we're reading in the, for the last 3 or 4 days now, about every other nationality's plans to evacuate, and all we see is the U.S. is planning to evacuate, but we don't know exactly what to do.
That could start to change tomorrow, as CBS News correspondent John Harchie reports.
The first cruise ship contracted to evacuate Americans, the Orient Queen, is to board passengers in Beirut first thing in the morning. Other chartered trips will be scheduled in coming days, and Navy amphibious vessels will help. Fifth Fleet Commander Vice Admiral Patrick Walsh suggests the Israelis will cooperate.
They're aware of our movement. They're aware of our intentions. They know that we're on the way.
As for the threat from Hezbollah to evacuating Americans,
the threat level to date allows for us to move ferries back and forth, but it's not something that we take for granted.
That is, U.S. Navy warships will be standing by. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
President Bush today continued to keep up the pressure on Syria, insisting it's trying to reassert its influence in Lebanon.
It's in our interest that Syria stay out of Lebanon and this government survive.
The Senate has approved expanding federal funding of embryonic stem cell research, Senator Ted Kennedy.
Stem cell research is going to happen. It'll happen quicker with the president's support, but all of us who are supporting this important research know that it is inevitable. It's just a question of when.
Polls show most Americans support it, but not the president.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. The White House promises a swift veto of the stem cell measure.
The president believes strongly that for the purpose of research, it's inappropriate for the federal government to finance something that many people consider murder. He's one of them.
Spokesman Tony Snow explaining a stand that has Mr. Bush at odds with some key Republicans, including California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger and former First Lady Nancy Reagan. It would be Mr. Bush's first veto.
A doctor and two nurses have been arrested in New Orleans for allegedly injecting four critically ill patients with a lethal combination of drugs. Patients trapped in a hospital by Hurricane Katrina. CBS News correspondent Terry Okita has more.
Investigators believe that the patients would have been evacuated and lived if the doctor and two nurses hadn't taken matters into their own hands. And this may not be the end of it because Louisiana's Attorney General Charles Foti says the investigation is ongoing and additional charges are possible.
Foti said today the suspects thought they were God. Across the nation, another day of seeking some shade and taking precautions against the heat.
It is warm, but got to pack the water. And I think that's it. Got to stay with the fluids. And keep hydrated.
Power usage hit an all-time high in the Northeast. The second named tropical storm of the season has formed. Its name is Beryl. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 51. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 877-33-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 877-33-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 877-33-GO-WIN. Call now.
The House today rejected a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage. The Senate had earlier done the same, effectively killing it for this congressional session. Implantable contraceptives will soon be available again in this country.
A single implant is effective for prevention of pregnancy for 3 years.
The FDA's Dr. Scott Monroe.
It requires a small surgical procedure, injection of local anesthetic, and then insertion of the implant under the skin.
It will be the first contraceptive implant sold in the U.S. since 2000. Stomach-churning ride for some cruise passengers today. The Crown Princess took a heavy roll after leaving port off Florida. Some passengers were injured. That ship, which was headed for New York, can hold more than 3,000 passengers. It is now headed back to port with an inspection from the Coast Guard. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Yeah, my truck doesn't have coverage, but if my boat hit it, will my boat policy pay for the damage to my truck?
That's a real question that was put to the licensed insurance experts at Progressive Direct. When you call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, we'll answer your questions and help you find the policy that best fits you. So whether your question's unique or typical.
Will I get a discount if I insure both my cars with you?
In fact, you will. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations.
Found a great summer hotel deal.
Let me guess, your parents' house.
No, Priceline has the top 50 vacation spots, up to 50% off.
Places we actually want to go?
Soho, New York.
Yeah?
The Strip in Vegas.
Ooh.
Waikiki, Hawaii.
Up to 50% off?
When you name your own price. Check out all 50 spots on Priceline.
Oh, I'm guessing your parents' house didn't make the list.
The 50-50 hotel savings event, only on Priceline. More ways to save. Exact hotel shown only after purchase.
Peter B. Collins.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. I am your humble host, Peter B. We're live, unscripted, unrehearsed for the next 3 hours of radio talk. And you're invited to listen and join the conversation. That's why we provide telephones. And oh, we've got a lot to talk about. We're going to get some interesting perspectives on the renewed violence in the Middle East. Dr. James Zoghbi will be our first guest in just a moment, president of the Arab American Institute. Then the news guy Schechter, a globetrotter himself, Danny Schechter, will join us. We're going to talk about the way the media is covering the current conflict, the choices that Tim Russert made for Meet the Press on Sunday, and this powerful rhetoric coming from Newt Gingrich that this is World War III. We'll get an update, facts on the ground, from Chris Tonsing of the Middle East Report. He'll be joining us about an hour from now. Also next hour, we're going to talk with Professor Paul Campos. When it comes to the facts of 9/11, he seems a little confused. He's willing to grant that maybe the story we've been told isn't completely true, but then he attacks people who've investigated it as conspiracy theorists. So we'll have a lively conversation with the professor next hour. Also, Jason Leopold of TruthOut.org, the guy who's been all over the Wilson CIA leak case. We'll talk about the Joe Wilson, Valerie Wilson lawsuit that was announced last week, and Robert Novak's recent pronouncements. Also on the program today, Melanie Sloan from CRU, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. We'll talk about Congressman John Sweeney of New York, about how the tobacco settlement got ratcheted down so far so fast, and about Ralph Reed's connections to Jack Abramoff, the Indian tribes, and his quest for Lieutenant Governor of Georgia. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can call us anytime during the program, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free 888-579-2540. That number's good anywhere in the continental U.S. 21 years ago, Dr. James Zoghbi founded the Arab American Institute. He continues to serve as its president, and he joins us on the phone from Washington this afternoon. Dr. Zoghbi, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Well, thanks for talking with us. When we scheduled this conversation over a week ago, we didn't have any idea what would transpire in the interim. Are you at all surprised by these hostilities?
Actually, I am. Although I should say that I shouldn't be surprised, but frankly speaking, that Hezbollah acted in a provocative manner as they did surprise me. In hindsight, I understand that they sort of want to set themselves up as the vanguard, showing Hamas and everybody else that they know how to do prisoner exchanges. Israel has, of course, dealt with them on those before and not done prisoner exchanges with Hamas. And so I suppose that there was that sense there. But Israel's response, baffled me, and still does. It outrages me and baffles me. It's so overwhelming. It's so destructive. At the same time, it's so unfocused. I don't know what the point of it is. They say they want to eliminate Hezbollah, but they're bombing in parts of the country up north where there's Maronites only and Sunni communities only that had nothing to do with Hezbollah. They say that they want to teach Lebanon a lesson so that it will restore its moderate position, but instead they're inflaming the country. And this is a bizarre set of tactics that are tantamount to war crimes, given the destruction of the infrastructure, the massive destruction of the infrastructure, and the loss right now of almost 200 civilian lives. That has all surprised me completely.
And as you look at the situation, there are many angles to take on this, but let me just start with this one. Is not the unintended consequence of Israel's over-the-top reaction, in effect, it's going to unify the disparate elements in the Palestinian communities and in the Arab world. And I view this as forcing Hamas and Fatah back together in the occupied territories, and as really causing many average Lebanese citizens to try to make a decision, do we accept this pummeling from Israel and its interference in our domestic politics and, you know, the message it sends to Hezbollah, mm-hmm. or do we unite with Hezbollah? After all, they've got missiles, they've got schools, they've got social programs, and they've got money coming in
from
Iran.
Let me look at both sides of this. On the Palestinian side, what's interesting is that Fatah and Hamas, the elected government of the PA, actually had come to a conclusion of negotiations accepting a formula that they hoped would end the impasse with the international community, where they would agree to a sort of modified version of a peace plan, accepting negotiations with Israel, and establishing a government that wouldn't have Hamas leadership. Actually, they were looking at some technocrats and business leaders, so that the international community would say, we can deal with the PA and restore aid because Hamas isn't there. That was a huge compromise for Hamas. It was at that point that this kidnapping of the soldier took place, I believe, largely to set back that effort. I think it was a disparate group in the extremist wing of Hamas that wanted, in fact, to sabotage this effort. Now, what Israel did in response is actually ensure that their tactic worked. It's almost as if Israel and the group that wanted to destroy the new government actually accomplished the same objective.
Okay.
With regard to Lebanon, Lebanon's a very deeply fractured society. I mean, we've polled in Lebanon a number of times, and you know, you talk red state, blue state here, they are miles apart there. When we polled a year ago and asked favorable, unfavorable, Syria, Iran, and the United States, Syria and Iran win over the United States. Why? Because 40% of the population is Shia. 40% of the population has lived in areas that have been regularly either invaded, occupied, or bombarded by Israel, the south of Lebanon, over the last 20 years, and they see America as supporting Israel. They do not hate Syria in the way that other parts of Lebanon do. And what America should have done after the assassination of Prime Minister Hariri was found a way to help the Lebanese move towards national reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
They did not do that. We picked one side, and as Jesse Jackson used to say, we incited one side while exciting the other side. And the result is deeper division. This situation is doing two things. It's deepening the division even further in Lebanon, but it's also making sure that the one thing that everybody will agree with is that they hate Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Because Christians are paying a price, Sunni Muslims are paying a price, and the Shia are paying a price. And none of them understand what the heck Israel is doing, destroying the infrastructure of the country as they're doing.
And even for people who've watched Israel for many years and seen the way they do respond with maximum force when provoked, It is still hard to rationalize the levels that they have gone to. And as you pointed out, bombing in northern Lebanon, which is not a Hezbollah stronghold, and this is keeping the entire school, captive for days, not just after school, but it's this kind of group punishment. And the infrastructure damage, including that power plant in Palestine, these are going to take years for these countries to recover from.
You know, there's no difference between terrorism and collective punishment, because the purpose of both are the same. I mean, the definition of terrorism is the use of force against innocent civilians with a reckless disregard for their lives and fortunes in order to accomplish a political objective through fear. Those are the elements. It's force, civilians, political objective by creating fear. When terrorists strike indiscriminately, that's what they're trying to do. When a forceful government that doesn't have to use terrorism in the same way because they have the terror of the state, when they use collective punishment and punish a whole society, they're doing the same thing. It's wanton disregard for civilians. It's the use of force to create fear for a political objective. They think, as they continually misthink, if that's a word, that by doing what they're doing in Lebanon, they'll force people to say, we reject Hezbollah. And there's only one word for that. It's terrorism. It's trying to create enough fear that people will turn against a political group. Similarly, in what they've done in Gaza is the same thing. They actually said it. They said, we'll teach them a lesson and force people to turn against them. It didn't work. And what I don't understand is why, I mean, that there are pathologies on all sides, that there are, you know, Israeli pathologies and Lebanese pathologies and Palestinian pathologies. We understand that. Those of us who followed this conflict or who are have family involved, et cetera, we know this is a troubled part of the world. What I don't understand is how our president, pardon my French, can be so dumb as to let this go on, thinking that somehow this time it was going to finish the problem off, when the last time a dumb president let this go on in 1982, that's when Hezbollah was created, out of the anger and humiliation of that invasion. That's when the PLO was evicted, yes, but what happened was Israel now found that instead of confronting their enemy across the border, they now confronted the enemy within, because the PLO moved their energies to the Intifada inside. And so the pathologies only get exacerbated. They don't go away.
We're talking with Dr. James Zoghbi, president of the Arab American Institute. You got a question or comment? Call us. 831-899-5792, 888-579-2540. As we return, we'll talk about this a little further and get his reaction to Senator Hillary Clinton's remarks about the issues yesterday. That's coming up here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This Sunday and every Sunday at 10 a.m., Rock Roller Real Estate has the biggest names and the biggest deals in real estate. Here's where you can learn about first-time home buying, investing, 1031 exchanges, who are the best lenders, and what will be the next hot area for investing. Rock Roller Real Estate, soon to be heard in Phoenix, San Diego, and Portland. Listen online at rockrollerrealestate.com. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Peter B. We continue with Dr. James Zogby. He's president of the Arab American Institute. Dr. Zogby, in the previous segment, you cited some opinion polls, and a listener wanted to just get the distinction between your Zogby and the Zogby polling group. That's your brother John, right?
It is my brother John, and he is the president of the company, and I'm a senior analyst, and I do the Middle East polling that we do.
I see. Okay, so you do work together. I wasn't
yes,
clear
we do.
On that.
Mm-hmm. And we actually get along.
Oh, that's great.
I think
he's great. The junior senator from New York addressed a crowd of several thousand in Midtown Manhattan at an impassioned rally for Israel yesterday. She said America must show solidarity and support for Israel in the face of unwarranted, unprovoked seizure of three Israeli soldiers by members of Hamas and Hezbollah, which she described as among the new totalitarians of the 21st century. Quote, "We will stand with Israel because Israel is standing for American values as well as Israeli ones." Your reaction?
Well, look, she's the junior senator from New York, and she's morphed herself into a New York politician. I'm a New Yorker originally, and I went through agonizing, silly seasons as people ran for senator in the state of New York, and watched them sort of up the ante with each other as to who could be the most pro-Israel. I remember one. Now, when Paul O'Dwyer won the debate by saying he ran guns to the Haganah in 1948, nobody could top that. Mm-hmm. But look, the point is it correct? Is it helpful? And the answer is no, it's not. Was the attack unprovoked? Okay, we can argue that it was. Although one has to also remember that there were attacks by Israel against the Palestinians. The family died on the beach. The family got blown up in the building. This constant cycle of violence. The reality is that there's a cycle of violence, and we have to deal with that. When American politicians speak, though, they have a narrow focus on reelection. They don't think about the consequences As Israel doesn't think about the consequences when they use force, American politicians don't think about the consequences when they speak. And what speaking does is it gets reported all over the world. And so when people say that America is in Israel's hip pocket, they point to dumb statements by members of Congress that point that out. When we are in trouble in the Middle East, and you know, poor Karen Hughes, right now I'd say pack your bags and go home. Back to Texas, public diplomacy is over. Because if this is the message we're sending, then there's nothing else you can do. They're not so dumb that they're going to buy pretty commercials and say, oh, America's really nice, when what they see is massive bombing of the infrastructure of Lebanon, north, south, east, and west, Christian and Muslim, regardless of any relationship to Hezbollah. And they're going to see an American president blessing it, and an American senator saying their struggle is our struggle and we're on the same side.
Well, that you mentioned Karen Hughes. I can imagine her initiative would be to do a big promotion on Al Hura, our propaganda machinery there,
which
offering
nobody
free trips to Disneyland.
Which nobody watches.
Right. Okay, react to this, sir. Edward Lutwak in today's New York Times says he doesn't expect the fighting to widen across the region because Hamas is isolated, no local allies other than Syria. And Hezbollah, they say, is, all know that Israelis are acting only incidentally against Lebanon and that their target is Hezbollah, which deliberately started the fighting by crossing into Israel. Do you agree with Lutwak?
You know, he leaves me speechless, and he's left me speechless now for almost 30-something years. I remember when he was, like, summarily drummed out of Israel. He was at a think tank there after the 73 war. He wrote a piece chastising Ariel Sharon, saying that by not marching into, actually chastising the government, by not marching into Cairo in the 73 war, Israel gave up an important strategic asset. They could have conquered Cairo and Damascus and put an end to Arab extremism. He said the government argued that we would have lost, Israel would have lost, 2,000 to 3,000 lives. But, he said, that's a mere statistical aberration in the census, 2,000 to 3,000 lives, and for that we would have won this huge victory. Well, Israelis were so horrified that he could speak so casually about 2,000 to 3,000 lives that he just was like literally drummed out of the country and came over here, mm-hmm. where I figured that when he started working with Ronald Reagan that he really liked working here because with 200 plus million people the statistical aberration is even larger, so you get more, you know, lives of military to play around with. Guy's a nut.
Mm-hmm.
And what I don't understand, I mean, I read an article he wrote about Islam a while ago. I actually commented on it on my website and did an article that I write for Truth Out on it. It's called They Ought to Be Ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
And my website, incidentally, is aaiusa.org. And
very
look
good
at the article, because I said that if someone on the Arab side had written an article about Judaism using the same stereotypes and the same bigoted language that Lutwak did about Islam in his article, there would have been an uproar. But instead, the American Jewish Committee sent Lutwak's article out and distributed it to their list. I was horrified. And frankly, Lutwak doesn't horrify me because I know his record.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who publish his stuff do. He's wrong. I mean,
Dr.
in the
Zaghi,
case of Lebanon.
Excuse me, just about 30 seconds remaining. What is your prediction about how this will play out? Will a ceasefire
America
develop?
Unless America exercises leadership and calls on Israel to be restrained, which I hope they do before more tragedy occurs, this thing is going to continue and morph into another form of extremist violence in the future. There are enormous dangers and risks for America, in particular for our troops in Iraq. Remember, the more Hezbollah gets bloodied, their allies among the Shia in Iraq will seek out revenge.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Zaghbi, I look forward to talking with you again. I really appreciate your
Thank you. Commentary today. Sure.
Dr. James Zaghbi, president of the Arab American Institute. Sorry we didn't get to your calls here. Coming up next, Danny Schechter will join us and talk about media coverage of this new conflict in the Middle East. Your calls are welcome, 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years, They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monte Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monte Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with great news. I have a new time slot. Reality Radio can be heard every Saturday afternoon now from 4 to 5, so keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. With me, Sheila Gale, number one in Reality Radio. There's nothing we won't talk about. Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m., sponsored in part by Primerica Financial Services. Call Joe and Phyllis at the Marina office for your free consultation. See you Saturday on KRXA.
Three minutes past the hour as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. More this half hour and at the top of next hour on the situation in the Middle East. Danny Schechter will join us in a second to talk about the media wars. And Chris Tonsing from the Middle East Report with his daily update coming up at the top of the hour next hour. We'll also be joined by Professor Paul Campos, who doesn't believe people like me who question the official account of 9/11. Jason Leopold will check in and report on the lawsuit that is being filed by Joe and Valerie Wilson against Bush, Cheney, Rove, and the gang. Oh, actually, Bush isn't involved. He's immune. Sorry. Also today, Melanie Sloan will check in from Washington about corruption there. There's a new target, Representative John Sweeney, Republican of New York. She'll give us the details. And your calls and comments are welcome anywhere along the way. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast.
or toll free. At 888-579-2540. Now, as you may know, 1 year ago this week, we launched the Peter B. Collins Show on KRXA 540 in Monterey. Over the past year, we've made many new friends as we've grown, and we're now on in four great cities here in the West. To celebrate our first anniversary, we're giving away a case of fine Central Coast wine from select vintners in Monterey County in the Santa Cruz Mountains, courtesy of our friends at Monterey Bay Wine Company. If you'd like to enter, just drop me an email. Send it to Peter at peterbcollins.com. Include your name, address, a daytime phone, indicate that you're at least 21 years of age so I don't get arrested, and tell me your most memorable moment from the Peter B. Collins Show over the past year. One entry per person, please. And if email doesn't work for you, you can send me a postcard or letter to Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. That's Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. We'll hold the drawing and announce the winner on August 1st.
Wish you were soft and smooth.
The world in a minute.
The family station carries no news of the world.
Corporate America owns all the networks.
Freedom of the press is only guaranteed when you own the press.
Communication breakdown. Pause for the message breakup. Every station is identification. Global syndication is the shaping of the nation. ABC, Disney, NBC, GE, Murdoch is Foxy, and with a hint, he owns a pen, the camera, the sword, by a Coke, by a Ford.
And there it is, our official intro for the news dissector, Danny Schechter. That's called News Goo. The more you watch, the less you know. Hello, Danny.
Hey, long time, Peter. Glad to be with you.
Well,
congratulations on the new stations and the wider reach for your program. It's really not only deserved but needed.
Well, thank you very much, Danny. I appreciate that, and we're doing everything we can to get good messages and good voices and views out in the media. I want to thank you for your recent blogs. You've been all over the world, and yet every day it appears you manage to file. And I wanted to start with your Monday blog, and if people don't read you, they should go to mediachannel.org and sign up to receive the News Dissector daily email. You gave a very interesting account based on your experience as a network television producer in the way that you view Tim Russert and his staff chose to put together Meet the Press this past weekend. And I think it speaks volumes to the way the corporate media in this country is handling the current conflict in the Middle East.
Yeah, I mean, in other words, I think sometimes by just critiquing what we see, we don't really think about what could have been or what should have been, and how easily it would have been to do something more meaningful than what they did. So what I suggested, I watched Meet the Press, and I was just like, here's this major crisis going on in the Middle East. Here's the number one Sunday program that's on the air in the middle of this crisis, okay? Here's the top, you know, anchorman, one of them from NBC, you know, Tim Russert, with a staff and a budget that commands, you know, access to almost anybody in the world they want to have on the program. They've got satellites. They have studios. They could do almost anything. So what did they do to deal with this crisis? They reached out around the corner in Washington, D.C., and they found two of the usual suspects who have nothing to do with what's happening in the Middle East. They're not experts on it. They're not engaged in it. They're not involved in it. One is Newt Gingrich, the former Speaker of the House, right-wing cheerleader for the Bush administration. And the other, was none other than Joe Biden, a Democrat centrist foreign policy wonk who also has nothing particular to say about what's actually going on. Now, they start the program by going to Jerusalem, and there is Martin Fletcher, NBC's correspondent, a guy I happen to know and respect a great deal. And he's asked by Russell, he said, well, is there an Israeli agenda here? And he says, you bet, Tim. He said, this is a military operation that's been planned for 5 years. Okay, it's called the work plan, and what we're seeing is its implementation step by step. Now, nobody on the networks has said anything like that this war by Israel is part of a plan that was planned before the current government took over, called the work plan, designed to not simply get back Israeli soldiers who were captured in Lebanon or kidnapped in Gaza, but rather a plan to attack their political enemies in Lebanon, Hezbollah and Hamas in the Palestinian territory, and that this is actually something that was created by Sharon, because you go back 5 years, who was running things? Sharon. So here we have a military plan, a response, which has goals to it, which is political, which is working according to Fletcher in coordination with the United States. He says on the air, he says, well, they wouldn't want to talk publicly about it. Okay? Now, that's what a journalist is supposed to do, bring out information that's not public. But no journalists have been doing it. They've basically been lining up and repeating or recycling what government sources are telling them. Then the discussion on Meet the Press doesn't discuss how can we resolve this situation. No. What are the real origins of it? What are the real agendas of the different parties? We don't hear from any Palestinians or Lebanese or Israelis even. All we hear is from two American politicians who are not engaged in the issue. One of them, Newt Gingrich, basically uses the occasion of this war to call for more war. He says this is World War III, approvingly, and basically wants World War III. And that's what I write about on my blog on MediaChannel.org, how World War III has now become something to be advocated and treated respectfully in the media. I mean, you know, the last World War, only 50 million people died. In the First World War, only 37 million people died. Do we really want another World War? Isn't the whole goal to try to avert war? But no, what we're seeing instead is these kind of this sort of aggressive approach of a preemptive war. And here's Gingrich advocating it, but nobody is challenging him, not really Biden. Biden says, well, he doesn't agree on World War III, but doesn't explain why, and neither does Russert challenge him. So that was what my column was about. Am I going on in too much detail here?
No, you're doing great. I'm pleased for the analysis that you offered, because I want to direct people, if they have time, to go back to Monday's blog and read it, because you analyzed four other options before they settled on Newty and Biden. As you pointed out, the usual suspects, white male connected politicians, but people who are really not well steeped in the issues, and they didn't advance the story. I caught part of the replay of Meet the Press on Sunday night, and I was disappointed, because I wanted to hear analysis about, you know, who provoked whom, and how that is viewed in the region, not just through the American media. And I think that there are a lot of interesting underlying facts here that should be brought out, some of which you just described. And yet we are getting this very cursory view with a nationalist American perspective that is aligned with Israel and the
Not just with Israel, but with a nationalist chauvinistic position in Israel. You know, not everybody in Israel is supporting this necessarily, but, you know, they're also basing their positions on what's being reported in the media, what they're being told. And what they're being told is only part of the story.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we see this going forward, it does raise questions about the nature of the U.S. Signals to Israel and whether we have given them either tacit or overt approval to continue on this very heavy-handed response.
Absolutely. And that, you know, that's what's so worrisome, is that, you know, even in the height of this crisis, what we're getting is propaganda and ideology without really understanding what it is. It's the same kind of rerun of the Iraq story, you know, the bad guys versus the good guys, the terrorists, they're out to destroy everything, and the good guys are upholding Western civilization by bombing civilians, you know. And, you know, there's something really wrong here. And it's a deeply wrong thing in the way our media covers the world, the lack of context, the lack of background, the lack of information. And that's why I believe that it's so important for us to seek out independent information, you know, whether through shows like yours, through MediaChannel.org, through other outlets. That's what's missing here, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's take a call. Tara's on the line from Bayside. Hello, Tara. You're on
Hi.
The Peter B. Collins Show with Danny Schechter.
Wonderful. Hi, Danny.
Hi.
Something hasn't been mentioned that I don't understand. When Israel withdrew from Lebanon, the Lebanese government was supposed to come in and guard the border, which never happened. What
right.
happened is Hezbollah moved in and started lobbying their little rockets over into Israel on a constant basis. Now,
well, let's be fair. That's only recently.
No. It's been going on for a very long time.
I mean, one of the interesting things about that is, you know who spoke to that was Joe Biden. One of the interesting things he revealed, the only new fact that I heard, was he said, you know, at the time that Hezbollah withdrew and the United States government made a commitment to help build up the Lebanese military as an alternative force to Hezbollah to actually build a government, because Lebanon is a very divided country, mm-hmm. and the United States then never honored its commitment to do that. So the reason that the Lebanese, there was a vacuum in there, was that the Lebanon army didn't exist, didn't get the resources, wasn't able to really defend its national territory.
No, it was reduced to a police department under the Syrian occupation.
Right.
Right. And
so
one
they
of
couldn't
people,
do anything one, at all
hold
about
on, Tara.
Hezbollah.
Go ahead, Danny.
What were you saying? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Danny.
I'm saying one of the reasons why do, you know, it's 1.35 million, according to what I read, people in Lebanon support Hezbollah. May not be the majority, but that's a lot of people. Why? Why would they, in the same way, why did people vote for Hamas and the Palestinians? The assumption, if you watch American television, is that they hate all Israelis, they want to destroy Israel and all the rest of it. And nobody points out that one of the reasons that these parties are successful is because they're providing, first of all, social services to the people that mm-hmm. the government isn't providing. Secondly,
right.
the main principal parties, in the case of Lebanon, the central government, and the case of Palestine, the Palestine Authority, the former Arafat government, were totally corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And because they were totally corrupt, you know, you have a situation. Sorry, my phone's ringing. I can't do anything about it.
Don't worry.
But because it's totally corrupt, people look for an alternative. And Hamas and Hezbollah seem to be attractive in terms of caring about the people with hospitals, with schools, et cetera, and so forth,
and
that are not being provided.
That the
one way that
hold
you
on,
could
Danny.
Try to undo them is to provide those services, to provide aid, to help build up a democratic culture and society in Lebanon.
Understood. And at the same time, Israel's military actions, in my view, are causing people who are not aligned with Hezbollah in Lebanon to think about that, because they don't believe that they can count on Israel to protect them, and they can't rely on the Lebanese government to protect them, and many people, I think, by default, will be forced into the arms of Hezbollah. Tara, go ahead. You had a point?
Yes. The point is that the armaments that they are using are coming from outside the country, and the only way they can come in is on the roads, over the bridges, through the ports and through the airports. Now, since Lebanon is unable to do anything, Israel is merely trying to
cut
a little border there so they don't lob into their major cities and
right.
they destroy
I'm against,
the weapons.
I'm against
that
attacks
they have
on cities by anybody.
The major
so
cities
I agree
Israel.
With you. I think that's really awful. But, you know, bear in mind something. United States government gives Israel almost $3 billion a year. They provide weapons, they provide planes, they provide all kinds of armaments arming Israel, okay? This is very well known in the region, which is one of the reasons a lot of people see Israel as almost like a puppet of the United States. Of course, it isn't. But that's part of the argument there, that a lot of outside forces are arming people, including the United States. It's not if the U.S. didn't arm Israel, then you would say, okay, Hezbollah, this is really bad. You're taking money and arms from somebody else. But Israel's taking arms and money from somebody else.
And it's our Humvees that are being used in some of these military
country.
Advances.
Well,
Tara, I'm sorry, we're out of time. Danny, hold on. Hold on. We got to go to a break. We'll return in just a moment. Danny Schechter's my guest. You can read his work at mediachannel.org. I'm Peter B. Collins.
For Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Would you like to be part of the conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
It's 8 minutes before the hour on the Peter B. Collins Show as we continue with the news dissector, Danny Schechter, checking in with us from New York City. About 140 degrees there today, Danny?
I'm sweltering. I'm like, you know, give me the beautiful Pacific Ocean and I'll be very pleased. Okay.
Well, come on out. We got
invite
some
me out there, man, to your you know, palace out in Cali, and I'll be there.
Okay, well, we got some fresh fog being manufactured right now, just to cool things off in a day
okay.
or two. Hey, Danny, I'm a little delinquent because you just released a new documentary about Americans and debt. And,
well, it's not released yet, but it's going to be released soon. I finished it. It's called In Debt We Trust, America Before the Bubble Bursts. So I think my best work. It's a shot in high definition. It was shown at the Nantucket Film Festival and here in New York State. We're trying to get distribution for it now. There's a website, indebtwetrust.com. We have some great new songs by the people that worked on NewsGoo, which I'll be sending to you, a great CD of new music about credit and debt and the economic crunch that millions of Americans are confronting every day. So this is a film that really started out with my making a film about other people's problems and realized it's about me, too. It's about all of us trying to keep up, trying to get by, trying to pay our bills and the like.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So that's what it's about. And,
well,
and I think it's a very important issue because it also shows that it's not just a partisan issue in the sense that it's not just Republicans who oppose the bankruptcy bill. Many, you know, who imposed the bankruptcy bill. Many Democrats colluded with them. So it's an issue that really is about what has been called financialization
by Kevin Phillips, you know, the way in which big banks and financial institutions are dominating our society and our culture, and everybody is in a situation of debt or could be in a situation of actual serfdom, you know, if they're allowed to get away with this. So this is an issue that we're hoping to put on the agenda, and to, in the same way that my film WMD helped raise the issue of the media coverage of the war, you know, which is sort of now acknowledged as having been terrible. But at the time, as you know, you and I were one of the few people who were out there challenging it on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Well, Danny, when In Debt We Trust is ready for the treatment, you let us know. We'll have you back and talk
Great.
About it. I'm looking forward to that.
Good.
I want to return to the coverage of the new strife in the Middle East. And one of the things that concerns me is the way the American corporate media tends to give great details about every Israeli life that is threatened or lost, and just give us numbers on Palestinians or Lebanese.
Mm-hmm.
And in the current incursion into Lebanon, the cost in terms of human life is about 9-1. That's Arab to Israeli. Yet we often hear,
mostly civilians, you know.
Right. We hear fairly detailed coverage of women and children who die in Israel. But I don't get the sense that it's balanced on the other side.
It isn't, you know, partly because many of the journalists are not in Lebanon, but they're reporting from Tel Aviv, they're reporting from Jerusalem. And they tend to be, you know, much more sensitized than they feel that their news managers are. I mean, when you see all the politicians from Hillary Clinton here in New York and Schumer and everybody else lining up, you know, to support Israel. Bill Clinton speaking in Canada, saying he would get into the trenches and fight for Israel's survival. Israel's survival is not at risk here. Okay, it's not at risk at all. Israel is the military power in the Middle East. It has the guns. It has the strength. It has the economic clout. But nevertheless, the impression is that somehow Israel is fighting for its life here, when in fact Israel is the one who's the aggressor, you know, according to everything I've been reading from all across the world. And I write about that in my blog every day, trying to offer a counter-narrative, not, which is not to say that I don't support Israel's right to exist. I do. But I don't support Israel deciding unilaterally to collectively punish a whole people because it has problems with, you know, with somebody who kidnaps one soldier. I mean, there are 9,000 Palestinian soldiers that have been, you know, put in jail by Israel, many of them serving for long periods of time with no, you know, legal process at all whatsoever. The same thing of Lebanese prisoners who are being held in Israel. And these issues are never raised, or that the soldiers captured in Lebanon were in Lebanon. They were not in Israel. Mm-hmm. So the idea, the image we have is that here's this tiny little country being attacked by all of these Muslims, you know, who are out surrounding them about, you know, and, you know, you look to Egypt next door. Egypt has a peace treaty with Israel. So does Jordan. Okay, you know, Israel has a lot of support in the Arab world, and to suggest, you know, that Israel somehow, all these people are against Israel because they're Jews and these are Muslims, that's such a simplistic and incorrect way of looking at it.
Danny,
but the problem,
Danny,
is it feels right.
Just about a minute remaining. One of the threads that I haven't seen much coverage on is the extent to which this is a proxy war, that Iran has asked Hezbollah to divert the attention of the U.S. and Israel, and that the U.S. has asked Israel to take this on as a way of advancing some of Bush's foreign policy goals. Have you seen coverage that explores those questions?
You know, I've seen it in the right-wing press, the New York Sun, which takes the view of the hard right in Israel, and their headline was, "The War with Iran Has Begun." They see it in those terms. Newt Gingrich sees it in those terms. Now, my friend Sam Gardner also believes mm-hmm. that Iran is somehow stage managing all of this. That there
he was on with us yesterday.
A secret meeting in Syria, and they planned all of this and whatnot as a kind of preemptive strike. I don't know about that. I haven't seen the evidence that backs that up. I know many in the intelligence world are raising that, you know, as a prospect conspiracy theory of their own.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the evidence for that, but I do know that what seems to be happening here is that Israel is bombing.
Our time is up.
Civilians.
Danny Schechter, we'll have to read your blog. Thank you very much.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale. At a new time, Reality Radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. Number one in Reality Radio, with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pointing the presidential finger of blame.
The root cause of the problem is Hezbollah.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill, where defying a veto threat, the Senate gives final approval to a bill funding embryonic stem cell research.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush says Hezbollah is the root cause of the crisis in the Middle East, and he thinks Syria is trying to exploit the situation and get back into Lebanon a year after ending its military occupation. He's concerned about the fledgling Lebanese government.
It's in our interest that Syria stay out of Lebanon and this government survive.
Thousands of Americans are trying to get out of Lebanon, but with little success so far. Some were flown out on U.S. military helicopters today. And CBS News correspondent Elizabeth Palmer reports on one group that escaped by sea.
Today, students at the American University of Beirut were told they had half an hour to pack and be ready.
Everybody has their passports, the forms, and your luggage.
It's the call they'd been waiting for days.
I love you. I'm crying because I'm saying goodbye to friends who have decided not to leave.
This is all Israel's fault, and I'm so mad. We shouldn't have to leave.
Full name, please.
The American students were loaded onto buses and driven down to Beirut's main port, where they joined 1,000 fleeing Europeans aboard a Swedish ferry.
A ship chartered by the State Department arrived late in the day. It's expected to leave with as many as 1,400 U.S. citizens in the morning. The evacuees have been told they're expected to pay for their transportation. House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi says that's not right. The charges should be waived.
Well, the president should do it. Let's hope that saner minds will prevail and they will see the light.
Now this.
The world changes. The economy changes. Your life changes. And as they do, there's something that doesn't change. The commitment we at UBS feel toward each client. A commitment to offer reviews of your portfolio, to assess your financial goals, and to provide solutions that help you manage all the changes. Wealth management from UBS. In a changing world, an unchanging promise we call you and us. Member SIPC.
There are infinite dynamics in business. For instance, the just-in-time inventory that really is dynamic. Or the every SKU already has a customer dynamic. Or the I've escaped from the crushing shackles of my supply chain dynamic. How do you achieve these kinds of dynamics? Microsoft Dynamics. Software solutions that are specially designed to improve customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
Today, several Senate Republicans broke with President Bush on stem cell research. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss begins our coverage.
63 senators voted to free federally financed scientists to pursue stem cell research they say offers hope to those suffering from Parkinson's, diabetes, and many other ailments. But Louisiana Republican David Vitter said it's immoral.
An embryo is a human life. Each and every one of us began as an embryo.
Utah Republican Orrin Hatch sharply disagreed.
I believe that being pro-life involves helping the living.
The bill passed last year in the House would allow embryos that would otherwise be thrown away at fertility clinics to be used for research. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. The White House promises a swift veto of the stem cell measure.
The president believes strongly that for the purpose of research, it's inappropriate for the federal government to finance something that many people consider murder. He's one of them.
Spokesman Tony Snow explaining a stand that has Mr. Bush at odds with some key Republicans, including California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger and former First Lady Nancy Reagan. It would be Mr. Bush's first veto.
Beryl, the season's second tropical storm, emerged this afternoon off the coast of North Carolina. Eric Blake at the National Weather Center says the Outer Banks will take a pounding.
Right now, we think the greatest impact on North Carolina will probably be late in the day on Wednesday. But right now, we're still forecasting the center of the storm to be offshore, so that perhaps most of the effects will be out over the water.
The brand-new cruise ship Crown Princess ran into trouble as it left Port Canaveral, Florida today. Passenger Dan France says it suddenly lurched to one side.
We started to see the pool water from the level above shooting off the top of the ship into the ocean.
Some people were injured. Princess Cruises, which put the Crown Princess in service just a month ago, says the big ship is safe and seaworthy, but it headed back to port. When he took office, George W. Bush broke a longstanding presidential tradition by turning down invitations to speak to the NAACP. But this year, he changed his mind. The White House says Mr. Bush will speak to the civil rights group this Thursday because it's a moment of opportunity to talk about his civil rights record and to mend fences. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
I'm a woman. I like things like movies with dialogue and sweater sets. I like hot cocoa on a rainy day. I like the word cocoa. But most of all, I like my big fat hog. Which is why I have Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Geico covers most kinds of bikes and has money-saving discounts. Geico. That's nice.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
How long will I be in chemotherapy?
What should I ask my doctor?
What are the side effects?
Will I lose my hair?
When will I start to feel better?
What about alternate therapies?
Who can I turn to for help?
If you're facing chemotherapy, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. But now it's easier to find answers in one place, chemotherapy.com. From different types of treatment to side effects, to the right questions to ask along the way, the answers are at your fingertips at www.chemotherapy.com, your complete chemotherapy guide.
A New Orleans doctor and...
Six minutes after the hour as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to meet Professor Paul Campos. And he's been trying to figure out this 9/11 truth movement thing. I'm going to see if I can help him a little bit. Later this hour, Jason Leopold will join us to talk about the new lawsuit by Joe and Valerie Wilson against Karl Rove, Dick Cheney, and a whole gang of unnamed co-defendants at the White House. Also on the way today, Melanie Sloan from Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, and lots of your phone calls coming up in the Free Speech Zone next hour. And it's day two of our special reports at this time from Chris Tonsing. He is editor of the Middle East Report. They're on the web at merip.org. And because of the seriousness of the conflict and the prospect that this may continue for a while, till further notice, Chris is going to join us as his schedule permits at this time to give us a quick update on the developments in the last 24 hours or so. Chris, good to have you on the program today. What's news from your point of view?
Good afternoon, Peter. It still appears that this confrontation is going to continue for the foreseeable future. There was more heavy bombing of Lebanon, particularly of South Lebanon, by Israel today. The Israel Defense Forces Air Command announced that they had bombed over 1,000 targets in Lebanon, including rocket sites where they think that Hezbollah is trying to fire rockets into Israel, but also, of course, including many, many civilian infrastructure targets and also homes and civilian vehicles. There has been at least three incidents now where vehicles bearing civilians fleeing villages, which had been warned by Israel that they might be subject to bombing, have been hit by missiles or bombs on the roads, and all the occupants of the vehicles have been killed. Hezbollah has been also firing more barrages of rockets, up to 100 rockets fired today, mostly at towns in northern Israel, and mostly the short-range Katyusha rockets. The Israeli military believes that they have knocked out a lot of Hezbollah's rockets, but it looks like, in all probability, and certainly this is what Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah, the head of Hezbollah, is saying, that Hezbollah's arsenal is still fairly large. So I think this will continue for some time. The mainstream media is talking about glimmers of movement on the diplomatic front. I think those are largely illusory. There is a UN team in the region to talk about implementation of 1559. The Israeli foreign minister, Tzipi Livni, raised some eyebrows today when she hinted that Israel might be amenable to inserting in some kind of international peacekeeping force into South Lebanon to sort of serve as a buffer zone between Hezbollah and Israel. Presumably, that would be the first time in Israeli history that they have been at all amenable to the idea of what they view as outsourcing their security to blue-helmeted forces. But I think that's a mirage because there is no pressure upon Israel from the United States, the key actor, to halt its bombing until such time as the conditions laid out in this G8 statement on Sunday are fulfilled, and that includes the release of the prisoners of the Israeli soldiers taken captive by Hezbollah and Hamas, and it includes Hezbollah stopping its rocketing, things that are not going to stop before the Israeli bombing stops.
And those are preconditions for an Israeli-approved ceasefire.
Correct. That is certainly how Israel is interpreting it. Prime Minister Olmert said exactly those words when he visited Haifa today and gave a speech there. Mm-hmm. So from Israel's perspective, and I don't think there's any reason to think that there's any behind-the-scenes pressure to the contrary, they do not have to stop their military campaign in Lebanon until such time as the first conditions in that G8 statement are fulfilled. And that's before there would be any kind of international force or ceasefire or anything like that considered. So from the Israeli perspective, therefore, they're going to do a lot more damage to Lebanon, and they hope to the fighting capabilities of Hezbollah before the international community would actually get its act together and actually assemble a blue-helmeted force that might in the future go to Lebanon. And so the level of destruction that Lebanon would suffer, I don't think, is going to be ameliorated by these glimmers of diplomacy.
Mm-hmm. Now, the top story in the U.S. media is the evacuation of American citizens and their families from Lebanon by helicopter, cruise ship, ferries, almost every available means. Do you have a sense that these people could be caught in the crossfire as they're attempting to get out of it?
Well, that's certainly possible. And, in fact, the United States delayed this rescue operation of U.S. citizens for some days, certainly longer than other European countries did, because they did not want to transport American citizens out of Lebanon by road. Some European countries have put their citizens on vans and buses and taken them on circuitous routes into Syria. There may be other reasons why the U.S. doesn't want to use those land routes. One thing that's not being reported in the U.S. media that I've seen is that these American citizens are actually being charged by the U.S. government for their evacuation from Lebanon.
Well, and Nancy Pelosi was on the top of the hour news, and she's trying to shame the president into changing that.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. As one of my friends who's over in Beirut and hoping to be evacuated soon put it, U.S. taxpayers are the ones who shoulder the enormous Pentagon budget. What is defense, after all, if it's not protection of U.S. citizens from harm?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it enough that all of our tax dollars are going to the Pentagon? Can't the government then use them to protect us?
Indeed. Chris, thank you for the update today. Great to talk with you. We'll check in again tomorrow at this time.
You're very welcome.
Chris Tonsing from Middle East Report on the web, MERIP.org. Joining us now, law professor Paul Campos from the University of Colorado. Professor, this is Peter B. Collins. Welcome to our program.
Good to be here.
I was alerted to a post that you published just today at commondreams.org. And you're taking a look at what is called the 9/11 Truth Movement. And I invited you on the program today because it seems that you're interested in meeting people who are otherwise rational, who have doubts about what we've been told, the official story of 9/11/2001. And I am coming forward to volunteer that I am one of those people who doesn't believe the official story. And in the piece you wrote, you seem to leave some room open to examine these questions and to embrace some of the alternate theories. But let me start with this. I don't believe that World Trade Center Building 7 came down on its own or because of the diesel fuel fire that was burning in the building on 9/11. And in order to reach that point of view, I don't have to know or be able to prove exactly what did happen to Building 7. They have never offered us a reasonable explanation of the way it came down, almost within its own footprint, almost at the speed of gravity. And so I declare that I don't believe what they've told us, but I don't have to prove what actually happened in order to establish that we haven't been told the truth. Do you agree with that much?
Well, I agree that the official 9/11 report is less than completely satisfactory, and that we certainly don't have the whole story as to everything that happened leading up to that day and on that day. But where I find these alternate theories to be really quite incredible is in these notions of controlled demolitions of buildings. I mean, I just think that if anything, the World Trade Center building number 7 collapse is a very powerful evidence that these controlled demolition theories are nonsensical.
Why is that?
Here, I'm going to switch phones for a second.
Okay.
Okay, is that better?
Oh, that's an upgrade, yeah.
Okay, great. Because the working theory for the controlled demolition, of course, is that there are various versions, of course, but one is that the planes crashing into the towers were some kind of diversionary tactic to disguise the fact that what was really happening was a controlled demolition.
Mm-hmm.
The collapse of World Trade Center Building Number 7 just seems completely nonsensical in the context of some sort of controlled demolition theory, because why in the world would you bother to do that? Why would you bother to bring down World Trade Center Building Number 7 many hours after the fact, after it had been evacuated?
But see, do you see where you're going there? You're trying to figure out a compelling alternate story, and I am simply saying that there was no reason for Building 7 to come down in the way it did, that the NIST study of both 7 and Towers 1 and 2, I think, you know, really misstates the physics. And I'm not a physicist, but, you know, I've reviewed the material from Professor Jones at Brigham Young. I've looked at a lot of different information about this. And my fundamental point is that we haven't been told the truth, and that the 9/11 Commission, whose work I observed on several days when I went to Washington a couple of years back, was designed to come up with enough evidence to persuade people that the official story is true. But if you've read Dr. David Ray Griffin's examination of the 9/11 Commission's work, the questions raised are astounding.
Well, I think that, I mean, I have looked at these arguments having to do with whether the plane crashes could have brought the buildings down, and I also am not a physicist, but it seems to me that the vast majority of the experts who have studied this do think that, in fact, the fires that were started by the plane crashes inside of the buildings could have weakened the structure of the building sufficiently to the point to bring them down. It wasn't necessary.
Well, that's the pancake theory, and it doesn't fit the construction of the building, because it had steel girders at the core that would not have pancaked in the manner that the NIST study suggests. Professor, I'm sorry, we've got to take a break. We'll return and talk more about this. We'll go to the phones, too, if you want to talk with Professor Paul Campos. He's with us till the bottom of the hour. Get on the line now, 831-899-5792 or 888-579-2540. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
KRXA 540 takes a look at traffic conditions. 21 minutes after the hour, here's Ashley Lane.
Good afternoon, everyone. Let's start with a traffic collision in the Santa Cruz Mountains, northbound 17 after the summit. We have a vehicle that hit the center divide. That's on the right-hand shoulder. Tow truck's on the way. In Fremont, southbound 880 before Auto Mall Parkway, a two-car crash. That's in the center divide. The CHP on the scene there. And in San Jose, southbound Highway 87 at West Alma Avenue, look out for a disabled vehicle that's blocking your right lane. We have slow traffic. Southbound 880 from Stevenson Boulevard in Fremont to Dixon Landing Road in Milpitas, so expect delays there. This report brought to you by Centrum Silver. Centrum Silver Multivitamins has essential nutrients, which emerging science suggests, along with a healthy diet, may help support heart health. Ashley Lane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Ashley. We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Professor Paul Campos. He teaches law at the University of Colorado, and he penned this piece that you can read at commondreams.org about 9/11 and the 9/11 truth movement. And, Professor, let me stipulate that I acknowledge that there are some nuts and crackpots and other people who are attracted to trying to explore these issues. But you acknowledge in your article here that the New York Times has only once acknowledge the central claim of the 9/11 truth movement, and that was an article about an early May conference that was held near the Chicago airport of various 9/11 truth agitators, and the story was written like it was covering a Star Trek convention, and as they presented the claims, they debunked them or dismissed them almost in the same breath. Now, you do acknowledge that there are a lot of people who are not nuts, not just crazy, who have raised substantive questions about what we've been told about 9/11, right?
Yes, I would acknowledge that.
Okay. So where do we take this, in your view? Should we simply sit back and fold our hands and say, well, you know, we can't actually prove an alternate theory, therefore we shouldn't ask no more questions?
Well, no. I think the appropriate response to what has happened since 9/11, if I had my druthers, would be to elect a Democratic Congress in the House of Representatives and in the Senate, and to start subpoenaing people and to give the run-up to 9/11 the amount of scrutiny that, for example, the sex life of Bill Clinton got in 1998 from the U.S. Congress. Since I think most people who aren't complete right-wing partisans would agree that the lack of preparation, at best, of the United States for 9/11 is vastly more important topic than what we spent so much time investigating in the context of the Clinton years.
Indeed. My point has been that, you know, if you lose the Super Bowl, the coach, the quarterback, the offensive coordinator, they all lose their jobs. But nobody lost an important job after 9/11. Nobody's really been held accountable. And I don't believe we know the truth about what happened. It's that simple.
Well, I think we really need to get to the bottom of lots of questions having to do with, for example, why did the administration ignore the memorandum that they were given in August by the CIA telling them really rather precisely what Al-Qaeda was planning? Why
did NORAD fail? Why did our whole air defense system just come up bupkis on 9/11? I'm sorry, I can't accept that it was just a series of lapses or minor mistakes. And I recognize that when you approach these big questions, it opens up a whole can of worms, a Pandora's box that nobody wants to look at, because it suggests that either through collusion or incredible failures and ineffectiveness, that our government either allowed this to happen or was so inept that it happened for, you know, despite our best efforts. People don't like to go there. Professor, I got a couple of callers. Let's see if we can squeeze them in. Dave and Eureka, you're first. Go right ahead, Dave.
Yes, Professor. You sound like an intelligent, reasonable soul, and I don't think you're a committed con here to defend the government at all costs. I have a couple of questions quickly, if you might. One, how would Bin Laden have kept our Air Force on the ground for an hour and a half while all this was going on? And you know that our Air Force has been trained for years now to respond immediately when an airplane looks like it's been hijacked, and they were all kept on the ground. That couldn't have been accomplished by them. Now, how did they ignore all the warnings that they got? They should have had planes in the air and on a moment's notice, and instead it went off to read about pet ducks.
All right, let's stop there. Professor?
Well, I think those are really, really good questions. And I think, for example, that it's not.
Oh, somebody's got a radio on. Thanks, Dave. Go ahead, Professor.
I think those are very good questions. And, for example, I don't think that it's in any way inappropriate or paranoid to pose the question, were there people very high up in the government who were not unhappy with what happened on 9/11 and were therefore perhaps even going so far as to be calculatedly inefficient or negligent in their response to what was happening on that day, because they saw what was happening as potentially a tremendous opportunity. Now, note that the 9/11 report already went a long ways from the White House's official position. The White House's official position was that nobody did anything wrong and there wasn't anything that could have been done ahead of time. Now, the 9/11 report pretty strongly refutes that.
Oh, but they refused to listen to Bogdan Zakovic, an FAA guy who had penetrated airport security and had a lot to tell. The 9/11 Commission report, as I mentioned, I was there for Donald Rumsfeld's testimony. He was asked a really tough question. Why didn't you scramble jets to protect the Pentagon? You know what his answer was?
What?
Did I scramble jets to protect the Pentagon? And that was it. Ben Veniste was told his time was up and he couldn't pursue with a follow-up.
Yeah.
It was that kind of lame investigation that I saw from the 9/11 Commission that reinforced my suspicions that we hadn't been told the truth.
Yeah, well,
and, Professor,
you know,
as you point out in your piece, if Gore had been elected and certain sequences of events had occurred, it would be the Wall Street Journal raising these questions and sounding like conspiracy nuts. I'm out of time, but I want to thank you for being a good sport and joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Okay, very good, sir. Coming up next, Jason Leopold on the Joe and Valerie Wilson lawsuit against the White House.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows. Sponsored by the Monterey County Vintners and Growers Association's 14th Annual Winemaker Celebration on August 12th from noon until 4 p.m. For more information, go to the web at montereywines.org.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyer, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly! Oh.
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
the Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, celebrating our first anniversary. I'm glad you're listening.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize it's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. wrong, but I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying to chalk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta low. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of cheater little homies wanna be like, on my knees in the night, saying prayers in the streetlight.
Yes, if you're a homeboy named Carl with a K. They turned up the heat on the Gangster's Paradise last week at the White House. Joe and Valerie Wilson announced that they are filing a civil suit against Karl Rove, Dick Cheney, and 10 unnamed members of the White House staff for the leak that exposed her work at the CIA and the ensuing controversy. Jason Leopold's been all over this story from day one. He covers it for truthout.org and joins us every week at this time to give us an update. And we've never been disappointed, Jason. There's always more news on this front.
Never a shortage of it. Happy anniversary on the show, Peter.
Well, thank you very much. And
I think that's great.
Well, I read your book, so I guess you don't drink anymore, because we're giving away a case of Central Coast wine.
Yeah, I don't. But, okay. You know, Welch's grape juice is pretty much as hard as I get these days.
Well, let's dive into it here, Jason, because it's been a very interesting week.
It really has. And
first, Bob Novak surfaced and said that he is now free to tell most of his story, but he still hasn't identified the person he refers to as his primary source.
Correct. And, you know, Bob Novak's, the timing of Bob Novak's column, his statement, his numerous appearances on, you know, on the Fox News channel where he works now, it's no coincidence that that came, you know, a couple of days before Joe Wilson and Valerie Plame filed their lawsuit, held their press conference.
What is the connectivity there? What do you see?
Well, first of all, I think that there has always been an issue of whether the statute of limitations there's a 3-year statute of limitations for them to file a civil suit on this. But more than that, it actually was announced on the 3rd anniversary of Novak's column being published.
Yeah.
And Novak, coming out a couple of days before, was basically what he did. If you look at the, you know, some of the transcripts, and I have to tell you, you know, having read some of this, I'm just quite shocked at the level that he would, you know, a guy like Bob Novak, who's been working in Washington circles for half a century, would stoop to. And he basically came out before to sort of change the news cycle, to change the public perception about the seriousness of this issue, about the fact that, and if, you know, everyone knew that Joe and Valerie Wilson were going to file a lawsuit, a civil suit. It was just a matter of when. And so Novak coming out a couple of days before certainly, you know, sort of smacked of him wanting to step in front of the microphone before Joe Wilson and Valerie. And he made some really blunt statements that you know, I'm not quite sure what his, where his facts have come from. On one hand, he suggests now that Aldrich Ames is the one who outed Valerie Plame back in the 90s to the Russians.
Really?
That she was not, you know, that she wasn't covert, a covert operative, even though that's what the special prosecutor said. He has said that he never saw a White House smear campaign. In fact, he doesn't believe there was one, despite the fact that Patrick Fitzgerald said in court documents there, he has evidence, hard evidence, to suggest that there was such a thing. Mm-hmm. So what he's doing really, to me, you know, if you look at it, if you interpret it, it really seems like he is taking his, he is the mouthpiece for the White House, for, you know, for Rove. This is a Rovian tactic to sort of, you know, spin it and make it about, you know what, this is about nothing. This is not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just his comments are so destructive
Now, Jason, last week you broke this to us during this very time period on our program, the Novak column.
Right.
And then the next day you posted a Truth Out, and I recommend that people read both of the articles you posted last week. The discrepancy between Novak's account of his conversations with CIA spokesman Bill Harlow
right.
and Harlow's version. Talk
about
that.
Yeah, there's a major discrepancy there. And, you know, and that's this is what is very, very important in Novak's recollection of his of this story and who he spoke with. He has probably on half a dozen occasions last week alone changed his story, saying he was misquoted, then say he wasn't misquoted, because what he has been referring to is that in 2003, sort of to around October 2003, Newsday had written a story suggesting that this story about Valerie Plame was a plant. The White House was trying to plant it, and they found a willing participant in Bob Novak. And Bob Novak said, in response, it was quoted in this column, that's absolutely not true. In fact, they came and gave this to me. I didn't dig this out. They felt it was important. To me, that still sounds like a plant. But he changed his story this week to say, in fact, that's they misquoted me. I found her name in Who's Who. Who's Who in America?
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying that all of the everything that he had stated previously it had just been off the mark.
And did he even offer an interim comment that he had looked it up on Google's?
Right, exactly. No, listen, I'm sure Bob Novak's, good at what he does. I'm not sure how difficult it is to, to be a stenographer these days.
Mm-hmm.
But that's certainly what he appears to have been doing. And with Bill Harlow was the public affairs director for the CIA.
Right.
And Bob Novak had claimed that Bill Harlow was one of his confirming sources. Bill Harlow said last year, in fact, it's absolutely not true. I had told Bob Novak that this story was wildly off the mark. I told him not to print her name. He said he did that on more than one occasion. Then Novak confirmed, of course, that Karl Rove was his source. And now we know that of all the stories that were written in the early days, July 2003, about Valerie Plame, the one source, or the two people that were sources for both reporters at Time Magazine and Bob Novak, is Karl Rove. It really calls into question, what's going on, again, behind the scenes. Did Novak strike a deal? Which I think he does. Did at this point. Absolutely believe that Karl Rove, is cooperating. It's a quid pro quo.
Mm-hmm.
But this is certainly they are certainly peddling a message out there that this leak is was not really a leak, was because she was never undercover, that it was simply just a response to a critic of the Bush administration, that person being Ambassador Wilson. The civil suit, however, should hopefully give them the opportunity, if it moves forward. Right now, Vice President Cheney, who is named in the suit, is under the impression that, he can't be sued.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think he's confusing his impunity with a sense of immunity.
Yeah. The news that has been coming out over the past week, and now, and even today, we find out about Bush blocking the investigation into the NSA eavesdropping activities. It really, collectively, what you have here is an administration who not only believe they are above the law, but believe that they will do what they need to do and have done those, things such as, blocking investigations, spying on Americans, outing a CIA agent. The ends justifies the means.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a something that people should be very concerned about. I think that the issue in terms of the news coverage, which I have been paying very close attention to, is that there's so much in the public record right now that anything that somebody like Bob Novak says should be debunked immediately. simply the public record being, you know, what the special prosecutor, Patrick Fitzgerald, has obtained. And I think at this point, you know, people are wondering whether this whole, you know, with Novak's revelation, and they're not sure what to believe. They're not sure where this investigation is headed, and they're getting restless. And I completely understand that, because we have yet to hear from Patrick Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no doubt that he is continuing to pursue, you know, officials in the executive office, in the executive branch. And, you know, I think that this is an individual who clearly, you know, is going to take his time. And, you know, just to get back to what I said originally, Bob Novak, you know, claims that he was told by Fitzgerald, or his attorney was told that, you know, the investigation involving him has been, has ended. And that happened shortly after Rove's attorney made an announcement similar to that. That was a month ago. So why didn't he come out a month ago and say that? And that's what I mean in terms of the timing. It was right. It was orchestrated.
Yeah. All right, Jason, we're going to go to a break here in a second. When we return, I want to refer to your piece that was a lengthy one published on Truth Out on Friday, the 14th of July, where you talk about the way Novak is delivering some of these official talking points from the White House. So we'll pick up there as we continue. If you have a question or comment for Jason Leopold, get on the line now at 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free 888-579-2540. And I want to remind you that as we mark our first anniversary of the Peter B. Collins Show, we're giving away a free case of Central Coast fine wine. It's from Monterey County and Santa Cruz Mountain Wineries. And that's from our friends at Monterey Bay Wine Company. If you'd like to take a shot at it, just drop me an email. Send it to Peter at peterbcollins.com. Include your name, address, a daytime phone. Indicate that you're at least 21 years of age so I don't get busted. And tell me your most memorable moment of the Peter B. Collins Show over the past year. One entry per person. And if you don't have email, just pop it in the mail with a stamp on it to Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. That's Box 100, Mill Valley, 94942. We'll hold the drawing and announce the winner on August 1st, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage, too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drop by More Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R, imports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. KRXA 540 checks your traffic on the ride home. It's 448 now, and here's Ashley Lane, Metro Traffic.
Well, let's start with a little bit of good news for the Santa Cruz Mountains. No stalls or accidents to report on Highway 17, so a smooth ride there. But we do have a traffic collision in Prunedale, San Miguel Canyon Road at Morrill Road. That's on the right-hand shoulder now. We have the CHP responding to that scene. And Salinas Old Stage Road at Hebert Road, we have a traffic collision reported. Two vehicles involved there. No additional details with the CHP responding there. A little bit of slow traffic. This southbound 101 from 880 to Tully Road in San Jose, so you can expect delays there. This traffic report is brought to you by Sleep Train. Ashley Lane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Ashley. We're going to check back with you in about half an hour. And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here during the Stephanie Miller Show on KRXA 540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, where we present the Free Speech Zone next hour. We'll be taking your calls on issues in the news. We continue now with Jason Leopold, the author of News Junkie. It's now on the L.A. Times bestseller list. Congratulations, Jason.
Thank you.
He's got a powerful piece that really brings together, I think it distills, the information in the public domain, the information that's included in Patrick Fitzgerald's court filings in the Scooter Libby case, and your independent research. You wrote this piece that was published by Truth Out on Friday, the 14th of July, Why Joe Wilson and Valerie Plame Filed. And one of the things you talk about is the way that Novak went public first and has been using some of these talking points. And I heard many people, I even had to stop one of my guests last week, a well-informed person, who claimed that Karl Rove had been exonerated.
Right. That is something that has been, you know, listen, obviously, you know, I wrote a story that said he was indicted. But aside from that, truly, if you're going to, you know, be factual, Patrick Fitzgerald did not say anything.
Yeah.
We haven't heard from him, and it's really important to hammer that away, or hammer away at that, rather, you know, constantly, because you can't make a blanket statement like that when we really don't know what's you know, what he said, what he didn't say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have seen so many news reports that have said, you know, Patrick Fitzgerald said that Rove wouldn't be indicted, and you know, it's very frustrating when you're trying to, you know, piece together a story, and you know, you're obviously, like me, you know, you've got critics out there, so I'm, you know, I'm trying to be as clear cut as possible, and mm-hmm. pointing that out is something that I routinely have to do, and I just took that opportunity with this piece to say that.
And we have so many people in the media who are out there parroting these talking points, and one of the others is that since Fitzgerald has only indicted one person and only for lying to investigators and obstruction of justice,
right,
that there is no crime, there is no underlying crime here that he wishes to pursue. And before you respond to that,
yeah,
in today's San Francisco Chronicle, their token conservative columnist, Deborah J. Saunders, wrote a piece comparing the Valerie Plame lawsuit to the Paula Jones lawsuit.
Right.
And
I
saw that. Have you read that?
I did.
And I find it just facetious, or specious, actually, is a better term, because she is skirting the central issue here.
Right, exactly.
And that is that a crime was committed, and that is the reason for this investigation. It has become, in some ways, a gotcha game for the Bush White House, but that is a game that they devised, not Joe Wilson, not Valerie Plame, not Jason Leopold, and not your little old talk show host.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm glad that you brought that up, because here is, you know, here are the facts. And these, you know, are letters and documents that people could easily find online at Patrick Fitzgerald's, you know, the website related to this case. In February of 2004, Patrick Fitzgerald had written a letter to Acting Attorney General at the time, Assistant Attorney General James Comey, who has since retired, and went into private practice, and he specifically asked in writing whether he was able, whether he had the ability to pursue other crimes that grew out, or that may have taken place
during the course of the original investigation. That original investigation being the Intelligence Identities Protection Act, which he had been checking to see or investigating to see whether anyone had violated. Now, that's what he started to investigate in December. By February of 2004, he had already, you know, been suspicious that perjury, obstruction, and possibly destruction of evidence, you know, was committed. He asked for, in writing, to make sure that he could pursue those crimes, because that's a crime. I mean, obstructing an investigation is a crime. Mm-hmm. So to me, this is just, you know, I think that somebody like Deborah Saunders clearly knows that there was a crime committed here. And, you know, the more voices that come out and say, he didn't do anything, he's innocent, you know, maybe the public will eventually believe it.
Let's go to a call. Billy in Santa Cruz, join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Jason Leopold.
Jason.
Hey, Billy, how are you?
Always enjoy hearing from you. You know, I'm looking forward to you getting the facts on this, but as far as I'm concerned, in the court of public opinion, these guys are indicted and found guilty of being sleazy, being a liar. You know, we heard Bush tell us that if anybody was involved in his White House with this, that he'd get rid of them. Well, he lied about that, didn't he?
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And let me just take a minute here, Jason, to thank Peter. Peter, really appreciate this radio station you helped get started and what you brought to it, and I want to congratulate you on a great year and just say thank you.
Well, you are entirely welcome.
Thanks, buddy.
You made my day. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. And by the way,
Billy
is
my day too.
Billy's going to start his own show on KRXA in Monterey.
Remind me to send him that $20.
Just in a couple of weeks.
You know, he makes a good point, though. I mean, this, you know, we have heard time and time again about Bush saying that he would get, you know, he would get rid of somebody, Scott McClellan, get rid of somebody, anyone who was involved, and then it changed to a crime. Scott McClellan saying that nobody at the White House was involved. We now know that Karl Rove was involved, Dick Cheney was involved. It was, you know, this is like soup. You know, this, everyone just toss it in. Everyone was involved in this thing, and it's nothing but a big stew in a sense. And
when you go back to the verbatim comments, what the president said was he added a clause: if anyone leaked classified information, that was an addendum.
Right.
The first time it was just a flat out, you know, I want to know who leaked it, and if we find out, we'll deal with them.
Right.
And then he modified it to leaked classified information.
Right.
That then becomes a critical phrase because whether the information was classified or not seems to be subject to some discussion because Dick Cheney claims that he earned the right somewhere along the way of March 2003 to unilaterally declassify information. That was a power previously limited to the president.
Right, exactly. And there's still much debate about that and whether or not that's actually true. But I think that, you know, Billy was correct. If anything, we know that the administration that we're dealing with, the people that run this country, so to speak, are liars. They're are just liars and, you know, I'm going to go a step further, criminals. And they, you know, will just do what they need to do, and they will continue to do that. And people like Deborah Saunders are not who write columns like this. Well, sure, it's her opinion. It's not based on in reality. The public record refutes it. You know, she can argue that, but this is not a Paula Jones lawsuit.
Yeah, there's a big difference, too, because Valerie Wilson is a substantial person and a great-looking woman, and no one has ever leveled those allegations at Paula Jones.
Absolutely, exactly. I mean, come on. I mean, I would understand, you know. Well, you know what? I'm not going to go to where I was just
Well, the best line is Carvel's. You know, you never know what you get when you drag a $100 bill through a trailer park.
Yeah, and, you know, these are, you know, Valerie Plame and Joe Wilson said that if the lawsuit moves forward, if they receive any monetary damages, they're going to donate it to charity.
Yeah, to a whistleblower of the future.
This is about holding our officials accountable.
Yeah.
That's what it's always been about.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, Jason, Jason, I got to run.
A lot more down the road.
Thanks a lot for your work. We'll talk to you again next week. Bulletins as they break. You check in with us if anything does develop in the meantime.
You got it. Have a good week.
All right. Jason Leopold here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I do direct you to truthout.org and look for the post Friday, July 14th. It's lengthy, but it details the whole chronology of events. It's very well-sourced and very powerful stuff. Coming up next, we open up the phones in the Free Speech Zone. We'll kick off next hour with a brief report from Melanie Sloan on corruption in Washington. Then we go to your calls. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. You can also email me, humblehost@peterbcollins.com.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Frightening moments today for passengers on the cruise ship Crown Princess. Heading for New York out of Port Canaveral, Florida, the ship suddenly rolled to one side. Passenger Bob Peters spoke to New York station WCBS.
We saw water flowing off the back of the ship from the swimming pool and heard stuff crashing. Went back inside our room. The captain came on and said there was a problem with the rudder, and he later announced that it had been corrected.
The Crown Princess turned around.
They're bringing the pilot on board the boat now to bring us back into Port Port Canaveral, because as they announced, there's injured people beyond what the ship can take care of.
Local authorities say 10 people are seriously hurt, about 30 have minor injuries. The ship is brand new, in service just a month. It was on the last leg of a 9-day cruise to the Western Caribbean. Only a few hundred Americans managed to get out of Lebanon today, but Assistant Secretary of State Maura Hardy says the pace will pick up tomorrow.
The capacity for tomorrow, as scheduled, will be 240 people by air. One ship with a capacity of 800 seats, a second ship with a capacity of 1,400.
CBS News correspondent Elizabeth Palmer reports one group of U.S. citizens was put aboard a Swedish ferry.
The group that I accompanied from the American University in Beirut had been rallied at quite short notice in the university and told to come with their bags packed, a bag that weighed less than 30 pounds, and that they were going to be leaving very quickly.
I want the world to address the root causes of the problem, and the root cause of the problem is Hezbollah.
President Bush says he thinks Syria might use the chaos as a pretext to get back into Lebanon. The Syrian military withdrew last year. There are reports of more nighttime Israeli airstrikes in and around Beirut, and Israeli forces are on the move in Gaza. Tanks rolled into the Maghazi refugee camp. Federal auditors have turned up more waste of Katrina aid money. CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson reports the Government Accountability Office found government credit cards were used for training at golf and tennis resorts, and FEMA got a 63-inch plasma TV.
GAO also dug up the case of hundreds of missing laptop computers and printers. The Secret Service spent $7,000 on Apple iPod music players. But the top prize for ridiculous purchases has to go to the Coast Guard, which bought a beer brewing kit and brewed its own brand of beer. When the GAO asked about it, the Coast Guard argued the beer served as a good icebreaker at official parties.
Tropical Storm Beryl, the second named storm of the season,
seas in form this afternoon off the Outer Banks of North Carolina. Forecasters say Beryl will batter the coast, but they expect it to remain offshore. Yes, it gets hot in mid-July, but Penn State meteorology professor Fred Godomsky says this heat wave is something special.
For it to be 100 degrees on the East Coast and 100 degrees in Salt Lake City, the widespread heat is what makes this particular hot spell unusual.
The Dow up 51 points today. This is CBS News.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
Yeah, my wife's pregnant, so since she's driving more carefully now, maybe we could get a discount on our rate, huh?
That's a real question that was put to the licensed insurance experts at Progressive Direct. When you call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, we'll answer your questions and help you find the policy that best fits you. So whether your question's unique or typical...
Will I get a discount if I insure both my cars with you?
In fact, she will. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations.
We hear about the military casualties, but not so much about the civilians dying in Iraq. The United Nations estimates that sectarian violence in May and June claimed nearly 6,000 lives. Fire destroyed a home in Kirkland, Washington, killing the wife and children of an Army reservist serving in Iraq. Heather Bosch of station KIRO has the story.
An older man who says he's the father of that soldier in Iraq stared at the fire-gutted home in disbelief.
Oh, I don't know. It's broken my heart. Totally.
Firefighters found the body of his daughter-in-law, two grandsons, and a young person who helped care for the children here. As he spoke, the man's phone rang. He said it was the military saying they're contacting his son in Iraq.
Thank you. Please protect him over there.
The soldier who's lost so much here. Heather Bosch for CBS News, Kirkland, Washington.
Sergeant Leonid Milken is on his way home now, and the Washington National Guard says he'll be released from active duty. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
The world changes. The economy changes. Your life changes. And as they do, there's something that doesn't change. The commitment we at UBS feel toward each client. A commitment to offer reviews of your portfolio, to assess your financial goals, and to provide solutions that help you manage all the changes. Wealth management from UBS. In a changing world, an unchanging promise we call you and us. Member SIPC.
There are infinite dynamics in business. For instance, the just-in-time inventory that really is dynamic. Or the every SKU already has a customer dynamic. Or the I've escaped from the crushing shackles of my supply chain dynamic. How do you achieve these kinds of dynamics? Microsoft Dynamics. Software solutions that are specially designed to improve customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, our third and final hour, my favorite part of the program, because I don't know what's going to happen. Will you call? Will you present a stimulating argument on an issue of public interest? I hope so. That's why we give you the free speech zone. Lines are open for you now, 831-899-5792. Or call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. It is hot, hot, hot in California, and even hotter along the East Coast. They've got 100-degree temperatures, plus the lovely humidity they feature in so many parts of the eastern area. And Melanie Sloan is making it even hotter for some officials in Washington, D.C. She's the executive director of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. You keeping the heat on, Melanie?
We are. It was a really big day for CREW. We took the deposition today of the Associate Attorney General, that's the number three official at the Department of Justice, regarding his role in the tobacco litigation settlement. As your listeners may remember, the Justice Department had settled with the tobacco companies a civil RICO case, yeah. And they'd settled it for literally hundreds of millions of dollars. And then suddenly last June, the department, without any explanation, dropped the figure, dropped the settlement to about a fifth of its original amount. So CRU submitted a Freedom of Information Act request last summer to find out why. And the Justice Department has been stonewalling for the past year, refusing to tell us anything. Finally, a federal court judge here in the District of Columbia said, yeah, you can take the deposition of Mr. McCallum, who is a former tobacco company lawyer, before he went to work for the Justice Department.
How convenient.
And see if there was bad faith on the department's part in their refusal to turn over documents that you've requested.
Now, they reduced this settlement from $130 billion to $10 billion. And they offered really no explanation. And, Melanie, I am so glad you are pursuing this case, because when it was first announced, it stunk worse than, an ashtray that's been around for weeks.
I know, and it's an astonishing case, and it is still going to be going on for quite some time, because we did not find out very much today. Not surprisingly, Mr. McCallum was stonewalling during our deposition, and he had an amazing number of I don't recall, and maybe this happened, but maybe that happened. So we'll soon find ourselves back in front of the judge, but we still have two more depositions tomorrow of other Department of Justice officials, and we'll see what they have to say.
Now, do you have working theories? If you don't care to comment, I'll respect that, but I would like to know what your theories are about the rationale they will offer for the sharp reduction of this penalty on big tobacco. They can't say, well, gosh, they're our friends, and they gave us a lot of campaign money.
Well, I think that's the reason. I mean, when you get right down to it, I think that's why it happened. But no, of course they won't say that. They've been trying to pass on the theory that the judge wasn't going to allow them to have such a high settlement. But there's really no basis in any opinion she's issued, Judge Kessler, to glean that from. But that's sort of the story that they've been trying to mount. But I think that's really to deflect our attention from what I believe the truth is, that the White House didn't want a high settlement with the tobacco companies. They're their friends.
Now, am I reading this correctly in your news release that Associate Attorney General Robert McCallum has a new job?
He does. He is about to become the ambassador to Australia. He's been his confirmation final Senate vote should be, I believe, this Friday, and then he resigns from the department on Friday, also effective Friday, and I believe is going over to Australia on August 13th. He happens to be a friend of President Bush's from their years at Yale together.
Ah, very interesting. So, is his deposition going to have any value since he's leaving the department?
Well, his deposition does have value because we'll be able to go to the judge with the deposition transcript and say, okay, there's still a problem here. We still didn't find out anything. The Department of Justice is still stonewalling us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm only hopeful that a federal court judge will be able to eventually help us get to the bottom of this. But the Justice Department has said in hearings that they don't believe the public has a right to know why this amount was decreased so dramatically.
Is there any precedent for this kind of a situation where a settlement was arbitrarily reduced by the Justice Department?
I am not aware of any kind of precedent for that. They are trying to say that they don't have to tell us why it happened, because this is something that's called the deliberative process, and that they are exempt from having to explain their rationale. But I think the American people deserve to know more than that, when it's so much money and from companies that have made so much money on the deaths of many Americans, and we will keep pushing to find out.
Please do, and keep us posted on any new developments. We're talking with Melanie Sloan from CRU, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. You also have leveled a complaint against a new target, Congressman John Sweeney, a Republican from New York. Tell us what caught your attention.
This is one of my favorite stories in Washington right now. John Sweeney turns out to take... schedules a trip every winter, it turns out, for the past several years, up to Lake Placid, New York, where the Olympic training camp is. And he takes a bunch of people, including other members of Congress, with him, and there they spend several days basically pretending to be Olympians. I have seen the actual schedule of activities for this for this trip that is paid for, by the way, by the taxpayers of New York, because the New York Power Authority has paid for it. And they have activities such as tobogganing, skiing, curling, speed skating, and then there's even some free time for, quote, retail therapy. And that's all in the schedule. And, you know, the general rule about congressional travel is the trips have to have an official purpose, and they're not supposed to be recreational in nature.
Oh, well, Melanie, you're so tough on these people. Everybody knows that every American would like to master curling.
That's right. But yet, in that entire 3 days, there's not a single meeting or even, you know, one of those fake tours scheduled. All there are the schedule of Olympic events.
Well, they go into town, into the restaurants for fact-finding.
Yeah, for fact-finding and retail therapy.
Right.
So we think that that's a problem. And even more than we think it's a problem, it so happens the New York State Assembly thinks it's a really big problem, and they want to know why the New York taxpayers are footing that bill. So they've been holding hearings, and Representative Sweeney has been refusing to attend.
Very interesting. Is this his first infraction in the crew world?
This is his first infraction in our world, yes, but we are now looking at him a little more closely, and I think we'll have some more information on him in the near future.
All right, I'm going to see if I can get on the list for that trip next year. It sounds like a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
Finally, Melanie, I read a fascinating and lengthy story about Ralph Reed the other day. It was published over the weekend. And new information about his contacts with Jack Abramoff, the work he did on behalf of certain Indian tribes who were being buffaloed, if you'll forgive the choice of that verb, by Abramoff as he was working for competing Indian tribes and setting up this kind of a scam. Now, Ralph Reed is a candidate for Lieutenant Governor of Georgia. Do you get any sense that these issues are gaining traction with the voters there?
You know, it is very hard to say, but we will know in just a few more minutes, because the polls I believe close in Georgia at 8 o'clock, and the primary election is today. His opponent in the primary is a guy named Casey Cagle, who a lot of Republicans are supporting, because he does not come with the baggage that Ralph Reed comes with. And it has been Mr. Cagle has been running a lot of ads about the situation with Jack Abramoff and saying that Ralph Reed is not a guy who can be trusted, which seems just abundantly evident to me. But we'll see what the voters of Georgia think. The one thing I did hear earlier today is that voter turnout was extremely low, and it's really hard to say how that will play out.
All right. Very interesting. We'll be watching. Thank you, Melanie. We'll catch up with you again next week, same time.
Same place.
All right. That's Melanie Sloan. Visit the website for CREW. It's citizensforethics.org. citizensforethics.org. Coming up next, we go to the phones and take your calls in the free speech zone. Join me, 831-899-5792 or toll free, 888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, President of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
This Sunday and every Sunday at 10 a.m., Rock Roller Real Estate has the biggest names and the biggest deals in real estate. Here is where you can learn about first-time home buying, investing, 1031 exchanges, who are the best lenders, and what will be the next hot area for investing. Rock Roller Real Estate, soon to be heard in Phoenix, San Diego, and Portland. Listen online at rockrollerrealestate.com. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic now. It's 518. We get the latest from Ashley Lane.
Hello, good afternoon. We do have a road hazard in San Jose, northbound 280. This is at Bird Avenue. Look out for a bumper that's reportedly in the two left lanes. Vehicles are swerving there. Good news for the Santa Cruz Mountains. No stalls or accidents to report on Highway 17, a smooth ride. But we do have slow traffic south on 101 from 880 to Tully Road in San Jose. North on 101 is slow from 85 in Mountain View to San Antonio Avenue in Palo Alto. This traffic report is brought to you by Hyundai. Save big on every Hyundai car and SUV at the Hyundai Challenge Summer Clearance. It's the best time to get the best deals of the year now at your Hyundai dealer. Ashley Lane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you very much, Ashley, and let's say Hyundai. Oh, she had to go. Not Hyundai, it's Hyundai. We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're heading into the free speech zone. The First Amendment is in full effect. Give us a call and tell us what's on your mind. 831-899-5792. Toll free.
I thought it mattered. I thought the music mattered.
888-579-2540.
Compared to how people matter.
All right, let's sing along here. This is the song for underdogs.
I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna beat me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna beat me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna beat me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna beat me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna beat me down.
Yes, I felt a little overwhelmed earlier today. I got up this morning and I said, yeah, I'm going to fix that leaky toilet. I'd been to the Depot de Casa and got myself one of these $19 fix-it-all kits. So I dove into the task at hand because, after all, the Depot de Casa tells me, you can do it and we can help. Well, I got into the job and, boy, it was much more involved and complicated than I thought. Two trips back to the Casa de Depot for spare parts, and I'm really close. Everything that was broken is fixed, but now the water line that comes into the toilet is leaking. Oh, my God. I'm going to give it one more shot, and then I'll have to turn it over to a professional. All right, we're ready for your calls on any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. We've talked about a lot of issues related to the Middle East today. Dr. James Zogby kicked off the show. Danny Schechter talked about media coverage and its failings. Chris Tonson gave us a quick update on the latest developments. We argued a little bit with Professor Paul Campos about 9/11. I think I won. Jason Leopold filled us in on the Joe and Valerie Wilson lawsuit, and Melanie Sloan talked about corruption. So if any of those issues grab your attention and you'd like to contribute a comment, feel free to call us right now. Also, the Senate voted 63-37 to endorse embryonic stem cell research over the veto threat of President Bush. Now, it's not quite enough votes. They needed 67 to make it veto-proof, but it does set up a situation where the president has to calculate very carefully whether this attempt to pander to his base will actually pay off for him in November. In the meantime, lives hang in the balance. There are many people who hope that stem cell research will bring developments in the future that could be incredibly helpful. And I support it wholeheartedly. It's very interesting. I spent some time listening to right-wing talk shows over the last day or so, and Laura Ingraham was featuring the knuckle-dragger himself, Sam Brownback, a senator from Kansas who is deeply opposed to this, because he equates it to the right-to-life issue, which, of course, has no connection whatsoever. Brownback is the guy who refers to embryos as young life, you know, as if it's a toddler, just... that is simply false. What Brownback is doing, though, that supports his opponents is telling everybody that adult stem cells are working. And there are other cord blood is a way to extract stem cells that match the DNA of the individual. So he's telling us stem cell research is great, just don't mess with the embryos. And, of course, these are embryos that were going to be thrown away anyway. And why Bush and the right wing suddenly developed a religious approach to this can only be described as political, in my view. Daniel in Eureka, thanks for holding on. You're on the air on the Peter B. Show.
Hey, Peter. I've listened to you for a long time, and I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I have a couple of points, if you'll give me enough time.
I'll do what I can. Go ahead.
First, I'd like to talk about 9/11. I first saw the Loose Change documentary about 7 or 8 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought up a lot of very serious questions to me. So I did as much research as I could on the topic myself.
Yeah.
And I've written letters to people. I've written letters to, when I say letters, I mean emails, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Emails to the newspaper in Cleveland that reported that other plane that landed, asking them if that story was factual or if they would like to retract it.
I believe it was a TV station. Go ahead.
Yes, I've there was a print version of it, too.
Okay.
That I was able to locate.
Uh-huh.
I've emailed a lot of people, never been able to get a single response out of it. But the biggest question I have about 9/11 is Building 7. There is a PBS documentary where Larry Silverstein said they pulled the building.
Right.
Now, I don't understand how the 9/11 report can say that the building came down from a fire and collateral damage from the other two buildings, and the owner of the lease of the building say, we took it down.
Yeah.
You know, I see a very huge conflict of interest there, and I wish that I'd been able to get on earlier and be able to speak with a professor about that.
I know you're on hold. I appreciate it. We just ran out of time there.
That's all right.
But I share your same view, and that is that the official story simply does not square with the physical evidence. And you can make fun of the people who are out there trying to come up with alternate theories because they go into the dark zone, they go into the weird zone. But fundamentally, if we had been told the truth, none of the 9/11 truth movement's efforts would be required.
That's very true. And also, I don't have anything but respect for anyone who comes up with an alternate theory because at least they're questioning it and not
right.
accepting what Fox News tells them.
Exactly. Yeah.
The other point I'd like to bring up, Hezbollah is, to the best of my understanding, an organization inside Lebanon that the Lebanese government isn't too thrilled with.
I think that's true.
I'd like to wonder how many American people would run with this scenario. We have organizations inside of our country that we're not too thrilled with. Let's take, for instance, the Ku Klux Klan.
Well, or even, you know, more relevant, we have street gangs in this country. We have Mexican-American gangs in the prisons in California, the Serenos and the Norteños, okay? And,
yeah.
And they're active in our communities. They're killing people on the streets. They have their own agenda. We try to rein them in. But, yeah, there are elements in our society that we don't have full control over.
Well, now, acknowledging that, let's say that one of these elements decides, for whatever reason, to cross borders into Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the Klan wants to make an example out of illegal immigrants, so they go down there and take a couple of hostages.
Mm-hmm.
If the American people think that it would be acceptable for Mexico to start bombing our highways and our airports and our military bases because we have a group inside our country that's doing those things on its own.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's offer a slightly different example. We have the Minutemen, these vigilantes who have self-deployed along the border. And so far, they've just carried walkie-talkies and turned people into the Border Patrol. They also have Cessnas, and their volunteers fly over looking for illegals trying to cross the border. So what if the Minutemen militarized and started firing missiles off their Cessnas, started carrying Uzis as they voluntarily patrolled the border? You could make a case that Mexico might have a right to launch some sort of police action against them, but they would not have the right to attack Houston, for example.
I completely concur, and that's what I see Israel is doing. Is it's not just attacking Hezbollah, but it's attacking the base infrastructure of Lebanon itself, and now it's reverted to attacking the Lebanese military base.
And Daniel, here's the thing that a point I wanted to make earlier. I'm glad you brought this up, because I do not believe that you can snuff out the kind of political extremist slash terrorist activity with overwhelming military force. Because each time Israel kills a Lebanese civilian or conducts a raid of that sort, they wind up recruiting new members for Hezbollah. And that trend, I'm afraid, that cycle of violence will continue. Thanks for a thoughtful call, Daniel. More of your calls coming up next in the Free Speech Zone. There's one line open, toll-free, 888-579-2540. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, The Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Ladies and gentlemen, we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show in the Free Speech Zone. Our technical director today is Joe Foreman. He's answering your calls, doing a fabulous job, so be nice to him when you call in the Free Speech Zone. 831-899-5792 or toll free, 888-579-2540. And yes, we're having a mild celebration this week. It is our first anniversary of the Peter B. Collins Show. We launched it this week last year on KRXA 540 in Monterey. Made a lot of new friends and reconnected with folks in Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And now we're on in four great cities in the West. And we'd like to share a little of the largesse of the Central Coast. We're going to give away a case of fine Central Coast wine drawn from select vintners in Monterey County in the Santa Cruz Mountains, courtesy of our friends at Monterey Bay Wine Company. If you're thirsty or you'd just like to help us celebrate, just drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com or himself at peterbcollins.com or humblehost@peterbcollins.com or bigmouth@peterbcollins.com. They all work. Just include your name, address, daytime phone, indicate that you're at least 21 years of age so the government won't come after me, the A, B, and C. And tell me your most memorable moment on the Peter B. Collins Show over the past year. One entry per person, please. And if you don't have email, we won't discriminate. Drop it in the mail with a stamp on it to Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. That's Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. I'll tell you a little story. I've had Box 100 for about 8 years, and the prior occupant was Senator S.I. Hayakawa, a wacky Republican who served one term in the 1970s, and I still get political junk mail for him. And I want to acknowledge Richter in Trinidad, one of the first people to enter our drawing, which will occur on August 1st for the case of wine. And he says his most memorable moment was a few weeks ago when a guest listed the attributes of fascism. And that was Dr. Robin Myers, the pastor, the liberal pastor, a progressive pastor from Oklahoma City. And Richter goes on, he said, the parallels with our government were chilling. You probably don't recall, but a few weeks prior to that, I had sent you a riddle about fascism. I do recall that. So thank you very much, Richter, and I'm glad to have you listening to our program. Oh, it says he is well over 21 years old. That's good to know. That'll keep me out of trouble. John in Carmel Valley, thanks for holding on. You're next in the Free Speech Zone. Hello.
If I had anything to do with rescuing or not rescuing our citizens in Lebanon, I would not rescue them, whether they paid for it or not. Because, first of all, I don't understand why they should be rescued. They're on a trip somewhere, and this is not something we have precipitated on them, our own country. It's something
Israeli.
Oh,
hold on a minute here, John. You're being a little ungenerous there. Let me give you a very explicit example. My in-laws are visiting right now from Detroit. They are Lebanese Americans. And Grandma has a friend whose wife and daughter went to Beirut 2 weeks ago, and he was planning to fly out last weekend to meet them. Now, his wife and daughter are in a war zone. They didn't intentionally go there expecting that Hezbollah was going to launch rockets at Israel. So why should they be penalized in your view?
I'm not saying they should be penalized. I'm saying that, like all people, look at the Lebanese. What are we going to do? Why don't we try to stop this? Why don't we put every imaginable pressure on Israel to stop this madness?
Well,
and
I agree
that
with,
way?
I agree
instead,
with that, John. But you open by saying that you don't want to bail out the Americans who are caught in the crossfire right now. And, you know, if your larger point is that we should be working to end the conflict, okay, I agree with that. But I still think that people who want to leave Lebanon right now should be permitted to do so. And since the airport was bombed by Israel, and possibly the non-refundable tickets won't be refunded, then I think the U.S. government has an obligation to give them a free ride out of hell.
But it says to the whole world, our citizens and their lives matter more than the Lebanese. It's nationalism. It's one more example of how the whole human race does not follow the golden rule. In other words, Israel is saying in the most obvious way, even a billion Islamists don't count as much as a couple of our soldiers taken hostage. We will risk any imaginable contingency that our rash response elicits, because we have no way yet knowing where all of this is going to lead. God forbid where it could any moment lead. So I am making the point that essentially we see in this whole situation how the human race simply ignores the fact that we do not care enough about each other. We're far more concerned about how the events in Lebanon affect our own citizens than what they're doing to Lebanon.
Well, and I do agree. What I draw or infer from your point is the repugnant notion that American lives are worth more than Iraqi lives, that Israeli lives might be worth more than Palestinian or Lebanese lives. And that's one of the points I've tried to make in describing the coverage in the U.S. corporate media, because I do think it is skewed, and it does leave the impression that American and Israeli lives are valued at a higher level than the other countries I mentioned.
Well, I have another point I want to make that is really the one I should have been making, because I told myself, if you make any point at all, make this one.
All right, make it, John. Go ahead.
Okay. The real problem, as I see it, between the Palestinians and the Israelis, and the reason they never reach an accommodation where they can work out a two-nation state and leave each other alone without one or the other harassing or overbearing the other, is because the Israelis systematically treat the Palestinians like dirt, and their whole nation is in denial of this. The real education I got in this, where I first began to realize how bad this was during the 90s, because I was one of the staunchest, most flag-waving of supporters of Israel up until about the mid-90s, when I started listening methodically to the BBC, and they did an excellent job of at least starting to educate me about how bad this situation is. You can see it right now in Gaza, where over a million Palestinians supposedly now have their own state. The whole idea of Israel getting out of Gaza was to finally give them a piece of their own. But Israel does everything imaginable to harass them and to make life miserable. So if I was a Palestinian right now in Gaza, let alone anywhere else, I'm sure I and all the rest there now have almost a unanimous, absolute, virulent hatred for Israel, because what Israel has, and I heard on the Amy Goodman show about 2 weeks ago, a Palestinian say this about as adroitly as I've ever heard it stated. He said, the real problem is Israel is conducting an apartheid state. She treats the Palestinians moment to moment, day to day, like the South African apartheid government treated the blacks for decades and decades. Until that problem, and this is something Israel could get to work on immediately, but she has absolutely no interest in doing it, and most Americans haven't the faintest notion of this. She does such a good job of deluding us, and she's in complete denial of this within Israel itself. Even liberals.
John, you made a very strong point there. I'm glad you did. I got a full board, so I'm going to move along. But I thank you for the call, and I appreciate your passion. Next to Dennis in King City answering the question, whatever happened to Dennis from King City?
Hey, Peter, I'm back.
Good. How you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
Not too bad.
Congratulations. I was with you that when you started a year ago. In fact, I was this year thinking there was some dead air, and I got so tired of the fifth dimension. Do you remember that? That was unreal. I don't know what happened. I guess you had some computer difficulties, huh?
No. Before we had the studio built, we fired up the automation system to kind of tell people that there was a new station that was going to show up here. And we did what's called a stunt in broadcasting, and we played the Fifth Dimension's sung version of the Declaration of Independence without identifying it over and over again.
I know it.
Just to give people an idea of what was about to pop up at the far left of the AM dial on the Central Coast.
Well, I learned something. I thought you were just having technical difficulties.
No, those came later when we actually got the studio on the air. But let's just reminisce for a second here, Dennis.
Yeah.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
See, you'll never forget it.
Oh, God, I brought back nightmares. But anyway, listen, you guys have been extremely important, and the best of success continue, you know?
All right. Well, Dennis, it's great to hear from you. Were you out of the area or doing something fun?
Oh, I've been back and forth, a new grandchild, you know.
Oh, congratulations to you.
And in fact, I did, I was a guest appearance on the show with the coach one day.
Good.
At a good time.
All right.
The reason I called real quick.
Sure, go ahead.
Is, you know, I picked up your conversation on with Tim Rusher and show this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really upset. Not so much with Joe Biden and Newt. I can't stand Newt. But Joe Biden handled Newt pretty decent, I thought. He didn't do bad. But my problem was with Novak. Tim Rusher served him up a bunch of softballs and let him lie. He didn't even ask him if Valerie Klein, was she undercover? You know, he said she wasn't. Well, to this day, I still believe she was.
I think she was.
And he wouldn't call him on that. And then he wouldn't call him on...
I mean, she was not doing a James Bond thing in Hong Kong.
Right.
But she had cover, and the whole purpose of it was to permit her and the group she worked with to develop intelligence on nuclear proliferation, particularly in Iran.
That's right.
So, you know, to pick somebody like that, if they wanted to out somebody who was an expert on the Antarctic or Siberia, you could say, well, that's expendable. You know, we can get away with that. But this was somebody who was entrusted with a lot of our intelligence on the aims and development of nuclear and other weapons by nations that could potentially be our enemies.
That's right.
And so for this administration to use a political outing that compromised an important program and blew the cover of people besides Valerie Plame, because there was this company, I can never remember the name, it's two words, that was exposed, and there were some 13 to 18 different CIA employees who were assigned to that very effort. So I don't know the complete extent of that, but for people to claim that she was not undercover and therefore her exposure was not a crime, I simply think that's not true, and Patrick Fitzgerald's filings in the Libby case back that up.
That's right. And not one question about what Joe Wilson said about Yellow Cake, was that true? And it was true. He didn't lie about the yellow Cake there
no,
in
he
Africa.
Didn't.
And real quick, I called NBC, and they have a comment line, and I kind of let into them. I said, what are you guys trying to be, a Fox wannabe serving these softballs? I said, you people have lost it.
Yeah, well, when they start playing the whoosh sound effects in between stories, you'll know they're totally foxed
up.
Yeah,
absolutely.
All right, I got to run, Dennis. Thanks for your call. Good to hear from you. Congrats on the granddaughter, grand whatever it is, grandbaby. We'll take more calls in just a moment. There are lines available for you. 831-899-5792. 888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale at a new time. Reality Radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. Number one in reality radio, with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5. Reality Radio, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
It's a 540 with a look at traffic on the ride home. It's 549, and here's Ashley Lane.
Let's start in Capitola, southbound 1 before 41st Street. It's an accident, one vehicle in the center divide. Another on the right-hand shoulder. There's also reports of debris on the roadway, so look out for that. Aptos, northbound Highway 1 at Soquel Drive. Look out for a disabled bus. That's blocking one of the lanes there, not sure which one. And in Gilroy, Highway 25 at 101, we have a drive shaft reported in unknown lanes there, so make sure you drive carefully and look out for that. This traffic report is brought to you by your Bay Area Audi dealers. Test drive the new 2007 Audi Q7 SUV. Visit your Bay Area Audi dealer or BayAreaAudiDealers.com to see the Audi Q7, the newest luxury SUV in the industry. Ashley Lane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Beautiful, Ashley. Thanks for joining us today. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. 10 minutes remaining in our broadcast today. Right after the show, I'm going to hop in the car and drive over to, what is it called now, AT&T Park, to see the San Francisco Giants. Barry, put on a little bit of the Clear, will you? The team hasn't been doing so well lately. Maybe he could hit one clear out of the park and into the bay. I appreciate emails, even people who criticize other hosts. And Richard and Linda sent a thoughtful note today. We're great supporters of what you and what the other program hosts are doing, challenging people with truth, commitment, and analysis to think about the issues of the day. That's why I've just had enough of Ed Schultz. He shows no respect for the caller if they try to put forth an argument that differs from his own. Rather than engage and possibly learn something himself, he bullies, intimidates, and humiliates people that would otherwise be allies in seeking an airing of facts and opinions. During yesterday's show on the Middle East, Ed took a call from Kathleen, a well-informed, articulate person who somehow kept her composure in the face of Ed's bellicose posturing. He used the same tactics that are used by so many of the right-wing talking heads. Paint the opposition as extreme by rephrasing Kathleen's comments into stark them versus us inflammatory language, and then asking a baiting question that leaves no room for a thoughtful answer. It's not just that I agree with his view on this issue, which I do, but his style is so antithetical to what I think progressive talk radio should be about. I get the same sick feeling when Bush speaks to the world. I want to tell everyone who hears him that that's not who we are. Well, thanks for your thoughts. I do support Ed's right to offend you, and I don't agree with him on Israel either. Alice in Humboldt, thanks for holding. You're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter?
Yes, Alice?
You are the first person I ever talked to on the radio, and you made me feel so good. Oh. I can't tell you how many times I've called and have made than I have made, and I do thank you for your help.
Well, I guess you were a radio talk show virgin before we connected.
That's right. I sure was. We have been studying a book entitled Inside Job mm-hmm. by Jim Mars.
Right.
I would be really glad if you could get him as a guest again.
Okay. I have spoken to him in the past, but it's been a while.
Yeah. Oh, he's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's very smart.
But thank you again, Peter, for being so good to me.
Thank you, Alice. And send me an email. Maybe you'll win that case of wine.
Okay. I'll do that.
Okay. Yeah. Good to talk to you.
Yeah.
Jay in Monterey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Peter. Quick question for you and your listeners. I've heard the outing of Valerie Plame called a crime. My question is it treason?
Don't know.
I mean, would it fit the definition? So I'm just putting that out there. Maybe somebody could research it and you could talk about it some other time.
Well, I'll just give you my reaction off the top of my bald head.
Sure.
And that is that it could approach treason, but it's not clear to me that it compromised the United States of America in a significant way. It compromised one individual. It was an underhanded technique used to punish a presumed political opponent by attacking his wife, which, I find kind of sexist as well. To the point about treason, I reserve that for very serious, intentional attempts to undermine or betray your country. And so, for example, the hot air that the right wing pumped out, including the despicable Melanie Morgan, a right-wing talker from San Francisco radio, calling for treason charges, including capital punishment for Bill Keller of the New York Times. In particular, the case they cited doesn't approach treason in any way, shape, or form. He permitted articles to be published which described a program that was not a secret. That was the interception of financial transactions through the Swift office, I think it's in Belgium. And, these are simply loudmouths who are, using very extreme political rhetoric in a charged way.
Yeah.
And they are wrong. And so I don't like to return that. It's not a favor. But I don't like to return that exchange by debasing the meaning of treason, by tossing it out in a case where, like I said, I don't believe that state secrets were revealed or that, the United States security was compromised in a significant way.
Okay. So, no, I hear that, and that's a good answer. I was just curious if it meant the... So you would probably think then that if it had been if all this had been done by a Democratic president, let's say Clinton or something like that, Republicans would have called this treason from the get-go.
Probably.
Okay, well, so thank you very much.
All right, Jay, good to hear from you today. I really appreciate that. 831-899-5792, if you'd like to call in. I've got room for one or two more calls. Want to mention a couple of things. Curiously, the inadvertent recording of George W. Bush and Tony Blair at the G8 summit in St. Petersburg, Russia, that video clip is very popular. And it's interesting that even today, with all the other things going on the CNN website, the number two free video clip that they have posted right now is Bush's clip, and it's referred to as the SH-blank-T heard round the world. Clever, CNN. I give you 5 points for that. What's also interesting is if you listen to the entire clip and get beyond the execratory term that he used in an offhand and kind of crude way, you hear a guy who cannot focus. I don't know whether he has an adult type of attention deficit disorder, but he rambled on sometimes talking about the issues of Hezbollah and Syria and Lebanon, and at other times thanking Tony Blair for a birthday sweater that he received and kidding him about whether he shopped for it himself. He mentioned that he prefers Diet Coke, not Coke. And in the space of a minute and a half, his attention wandered over four or five subjects, some of which are critical to the future of the world, if you believe that this conflagration in the Middle East might roll out of control. And he's talking about when he's going to leave, how he's going to make up his speech and get it over with real quickly. I want a Diet Coke, not a Coke. Blair, he called him, not Tony or Mr. Prime Minister or Mr. Blair. He just said, hey, Blair. And as I mentioned that to Joe Foreman, our board op today, he said, yeah, it kind of reinforces the lapdog image, doesn't it? And today, Alberto Gonzalez, the guy who thinks torture's okay, said that President Bush personally blocked Justice Department lawyers from pursuing an internal probe of the warrantless eavesdropping program that monitors Americans' international calls and emails when terrorism is suspected. This is a story from the Associated Press. And under sharp questioning from Arlen Specter, chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Gonzalez said Bush would not grant the access needed to allow the probe to move forward. So he is blocking any investigation by not permitting investigators to have the appropriate classification so that they can investigate these issues. And that's the way things work in the Bush administration. So that's what we have for you today here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I thought the trigger was going to sing for us here, but I can't get it to work. So have a great evening. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Tom Hartman.
You go to MerleHaggard.com, the guy who did the song Okie from Muskogee, and right there on his site is him doing a music video of his song where he's saying basically no to the Bushies.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
I'm telling you, when you've lost Merle Haggard, then you know George W. Bush is in serious, serious trouble. When country music fans turn against the president, the most conservative part of America is gone, and they're not going to come back.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. At the end of a cruise to the Caribbean, Dan France of New Jersey was heading home when his ship suddenly lurched to one side.
We start to see the pool water from the level above shooting off the top of the ship into the ocean.
People aboard the Crown Princess were hurled into walls and railings. Authorities say dozens were injured, too critically. Passenger Roberto spoke to CBS television affiliate WFOR.
I heard people basically saying, you know, my husband's dying, my husband's veins are bleeding, I need help quickly. So there was all kinds of people panicking throughout the boat and every deck that you'd go on because I would say pretty much there was at least a couple people on every deck that were injured.
The ship quickly stabilized and returned to Port Canaveral, Florida. It was supposed to be heading for New York tonight. The Crown Princess is brand new. Its owner, Princess Cruises, says they're doing everything they can to make the passengers comfortable. In Beirut, U.S. military helicopters carried dozens of Americans out of Lebanon today, but hundreds, if not thousands more, are waiting their turn. A chartered ship capable of carrying 1,400 passengers has finally arrived, and Brigadier General Mike Barbaro says more help is on the way.
A second ship has been contracted, which should start tomorrow, and it can handle between 1,000 to 1,200 passengers.
Iran and Syria may be meddling in Lebanon, but President Bush says
the root cause of the problem is Hezbollah.
UN Secretary General Kofi Annan wants to put a new international force in Lebanon. It may have been futile, but the Senate has voted to expand federal funding for embryonic stem cell research.
While opponents argued even leftover embryos about to be thrown away are human and cannot be used for experiments, the majority said the research is too important. It could cure Alzheimer's, cancer, diabetes. Pennsylvania Republican Arlen Specter compared blocking this research to punishing Galileo when he said the Earth revolved around the sun.
A century from now, people will look back in amazement that we could even have this debate.
Specter said he hoped President Bush would change his mind and not use his first ever veto on this bill. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Stranded at a New Orleans hospital after Hurricane Katrina, a doctor and two nurses allegedly used lethal drugs to kill four seriously ill patients. WWL Radio's Dave Cohen reports they were charged today.
Louisiana Attorney General Charles Foti says Dr. Ann Poe made the decision to take the lives of patients who could